जयं श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभिचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विशुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की हेमना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की और प्रेमानंदी और ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज और ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज और ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज और ग्लोरियस और ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा और ग्लोरियस टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमो शुभराय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूतले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी We're talking yesterday the instructions Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Samsara Sagare Magnam दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफलः सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेशा नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमन तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादितरदश्चार्ते शभिज्ञस्वरात् तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदिगवे मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरय तेजो वारिमृतं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा नाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं वरं विमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितगैदवोत्रवरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यनेत्रकृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं बलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుగాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందమనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావా పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాల్పదీపమతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేల్ కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కులదాదదాననిందోః మమ భాజి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురీం నక్కణికావి కావికావి. నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేషాశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంగం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాదాలయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్యవరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాంబురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబత్వామనుసందదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాసవిశాలబుద్ధి కుల్లారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమ. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. యుష్మద్రోణతటాజయద్రతజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః పేభీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే రమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యై సవై వేదైర్సంగపదైర్క్రమౌపనిషదైర్గాయంతి యం సమగాః. ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్య అందం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. కౌమారాచరేత్ ప్రాజ్ఞో ధర్మం భాగవదానిహ దుర్లభం మానుషం జన్మం తదప్యధ్రువమర్థదం. ప్రహ్లాద స్టార్టెడ్ హిస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ టు హిస్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ ఇన్ ది భాగవతం. దర్ ఇస్ సో మెనీ వర్సెస్ Yadahi Vrishasiha, Vishnova Dova Sarpanam, Yadesha Sarvabhudanam, Priya Almeshwara Sukhral. In this way, he continued. Basically, well, there is only one thing Prahlada had to say to this world and to his friends, is that one should start as early as one can Krishna consciousness, not to keep it for the retirement. It should be done where before than that. So that is why, as you saw in the Vijayagovindam prayers also, what happens? Angam galidam palidam mundam dashanavihinam jadam tundam vriddhoyadi grahitva dandam tadavana munchari ashabindam. One of the verses he says that angam galidam palidam mundam, all the parts of the body, palidam mundam, it's all become loose. All the nuts, bolts, screw, everything is loosened in the body. It's not going the direction you want it to go. It keeps going in different directions. Then, deshane vihinam jadam tundam. From top to bottom is in a loose condition. Whole body is losing its strength. Deshane vihinam jadam tundam. All the teeth is gone. Then, even if you put new teeth there, it's not the same, is it? The original. Vriddhoyadi grahitva dundam. What we'll notice there is that what you find in the human species, you don't see that in the animals. Like, their hair doesn't go grey. Animals, they don't lose their teeth. It's only in the human species all this happening. Human body. Angangalidam, palidam, tundam, mundam, dashanavihinam, jadam, tundam. This teeth falling off and hair going grey is characteristic of only the human body. Jadam, tundam. Why is it like that? Because Yamadharmaraja keeps sending us some reminders one after the other. These are all the symptoms of that going grey, teeth falling off. That he is sending a letter to all of us that 1 year some change, another one, another change, like this. But if I put a new set of teeth, Yama won't stop coming. Even if I change my teeth and put a new set of teeth, Yama Dharmaraja says that's duplicate. I don't accept that, he says. He doesn't want any duplicate business. So one after the other, Yamadharmaraja is reminding us it's time to come back, go back. And then same thing with the hair. Even if you dye the hair nicely, okay, the world you can go around a few more years showing the dyed hair, but the reality is something different, isn't it? Sometimes when you see the old people dye their hair and try to present to the world, they are still young. But the body is not listening. Body is all looking old. But so that's why. So one after the other, each individual hair will start going grey. And after some time, even if you dye it, it will look awkward. Everything looks very funny. So everything goes away and then you become bald. Isn't it? You become bald. So what is important is, then the old age is not something to be ridiculed in that way, because it has its own beauty, the old age. But if you stay Krishna conscious life, if you live properly in a Krishna conscious way, when the old age comes, the beauty will also show in its own way. In Valmiki Ramayanam, Shurpanakha came dressed up nicely in front of Ramachandra and Lakshmana. When Ramachandra saw Shurpanakha, he just laughed, seeing the whole makeup of Shurpanakha. Instead, another person, very old lady, when Ramachandra saw her, Ramachandra said, how beautiful she is. Shabari. When Ramachandra saw Shurpanakha, Ramachandra laughed, seeing that whole artificiality of the whole thing. When he saw Shabari, Ramachandra said, how beautiful she is. that she had no teeth in the mouth, and still Ramchandra said how beautiful she is. Why? She is a properly ripened fruit. Properly ripened fruit. That is why the Valmiki says she is so beautiful. So even after 75, 80 years old, a certain beauty has to come to this body. And that beauty is the beauty of bhakti, devotion. So if one has executed bhakti throughout life, continuously executing bhakti in life, at the old age, there is a certain beauty will develop in that form. So at that time, even if the teeth falls off, or the hair goes grey, or the skin becomes, wrinkles, yes, that's right. The wrinkles develop in the skin. In spite of that, there is a beauty for the body. What is that? The glowing face of bhakti in the heart. So there, if you add something, all this kind of artificial thing, it will not show properly. Angam galidam, that verse, angam galidam palidam mundam dashanavihinam jadam tundam. Dashanavihinam jadam tundam. Vrdo yadi grihitva dandam. Then finally what happens, that the old age comes and then you need this danda. Listen it. Dashanavihinam jadam tundam vrdo yadi grihitva dandam. Ajari Swami says, all these things fine, but the last says this, tadavina munchadi asha pindam. This asha pindam, that means the desires in the heart, which has grown and become a pindam, it doesn't go. So that asha pindam, tadavina munchadi asha pindam. Asha pindam is not going away. So at that time, locked up everything, you're always checking everything is safe in the locker. So Prahlada is saying the same thing here. You got a human body, don't lose it. Don't lose Krishna in this life, and one should execute Krishna consciousness. From when? He says, Kaumara ajayet prajnyo dharmam bhagavadaniha durlabham manushan janmam tadapyadhro martadam. One who is intelligent, he should start from the very early age in life, even before the teeth were born, and before that, one should give the holy name to chanting process to the child. In that case, if you start training the child even before the teeth comes out, then even when the teeth all goes away at the end of life, still he will chant. Still he or she will chant. So even the teeth which has come out later in life, that when they are falls away, even then he'll continue to chant. So from a very early age, if one gives the training to the children to chant, then, and one should also train them to chant the holy name regularly. So, for japam or bhajana earlier, or give them the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then old age also is becoming a childhood for them. So they will have a taste for that, even at the old age. So, that's what he said. Kaumara acharet. When he was a Kumara, Kaumaram age, at that time they should follow. And bhakti should be practiced. Dharman Bhagavadaniha. That he's saying there, this Bhagavata Dharma is very, very rare thing. And human life is still rare. And therefore, it will be possible to engage in Krishna consciousness. Manushya Shariram. Or human body is saying here, Tadapya Dhrom Arthadam. The goal of all these things, it, for this purpose, if you use this body, you can get hold of Krishna even in this life. And using this net called bhakti. And Krishna, who is like a swan, he is flying in the sky, but you should somehow or the other fall into the net. And otherwise, we will get caught up in the net of Maya. Body will not last very long. The body will not last very long. But when the body is there, it should be utilized. It should be utilized. Prahlada is saying like that. And then he gave this analysis. 100 years if you have lifetime, Many people don't even live that long. And out of that, half of that is gone for sleep, 50 years. Mostly we sleep at 10 hours, 10, 8 to 10 hours at night in the childhood. And up to age of 2, 3, you sleep quite a lot, isn't it? And then most of the time you spend while sleeping. And even while you are in the pregnancy also you are sleeping there quite a bit. And when you come out also, you are sleeping 16, 18 hours. But when you grow old, you won't sleep that long. It becomes difficult even to sleep 6 to 8 hours in the old age. And sometimes we will sleep and then we wake up and then we say we are tired because of sleeping. And then we'll go to sleep again. And then we'll go up in the salsangam also, we'll sleep. Then we'll go to office and sleep there also. And some people sleep into the front like this. Some people go and sleep like this to the back. In either way. So, in this way, whole life is nothing but sleep all the time, isn't it? So, behind our birth, there is another sleep. Behind this birth. What is that sleep? That sleep is, we have forgotten Krishna. That is a bigger sleep. This sleep itself, bodily sleeping like this itself is enough. But worse than that is the another sleep, what is happening for a long period of time when we have forgotten Krishna. Or when you have forgotten yourself of your own identity, Swarupam. So it is in that sleep that we are taking birth. Forgetting Krishna, that sleep itself is a big sleep. Forgetting Krishna, forgetting the real self, identification with the Atma or the soul, and we are taking birth in that sleep itself. And when Jiva will wake up, it is difficult to say when the Jiva will wake up from that sleep. This sleep, you know, you are getting up and going back again. But the other sleep is a very long period that sleep is going on. That is why in the Upanishads it will say, Anadi maya suptaha yada jiva pravudyade ajam anidram asuptam advaitam budhyade katha. That ajam anidram asuptam, that there is a stage where there is no birth, anidram, there is no sleep and there is no dream. That state. There is no birth, there is no dream, there is no sleep. There is no deep sleep. Ajam anidram asuptam. That advaitam budhyade tada. That's when one identification is perfect, that he has identified with the self properly. So that sleep, when that has started, the moment Maya has caught hold of us, from that day onwards, that sleep is going on. Which one? The sleep of forgetting, forgetfulness of our real self. That's a sleep actually. Losing that identity, who we are, that itself is a sleep. And and Jiva will only wake up when he comes into contact with a proper guru. He will wake him up from that sleep. And even when he wakes up from that sleep, ajam anidram, ajam anidram, that means there is no more birth and death. And he will realize to this, we will wake up to this realization that I am someone who has no birth or death and I am pure Brahman, Brahman consciousness. So, up to that point, the time will go like this, sleeping. And in that, what we get with the bodily sleep, body sleeping, the time we get in life is very little, isn't it? So when we get that time, it should be utilized. That is what Prahlada's instruction is. One should execute Krishna consciousness. One should take Krishna shelter. So that is why Melpathur said this in the beginning itself, in Narayaniyam also, evam durlabhya vastu. If you look into the first chapter itself, he began this way. Evam durlabhya vastun. Second verse, first chapter. Evam durlabhya vastunya bisulabhadaya hasalabdheya anyal tanva vacha dhiya va bhajati vadajana kshudra deva spudeyam ete tavadvayandu sthiradana manasa vishvabheeda avahate nisheshalpanamenam guru bhavana puradhishame vashrayama. That durlabhya vastu
means the rare thing. What's that? Krishna. That is very close to us.
Evam durlabhya vastu nabhi sulabhadaya hastalabdheya danya.
He is so close to us as Andaryami. Right in our hand he is available. And then why we should worry about anything?
That even if you can't go, even you don't have a direct, closer connection with Krishna,
that the holy name will bring him closer to you.
Simply by chanting the holy name, that remembrance will never go of Krishna.
Continuously chanting the holy name.
And if one cannot get up anymore, a stage can come in life, one cannot get up anymore, he'll be in the bed forever.
So even in that stage, one can still chant the holy name.
And and as long as the tongue is able to operate, tongue is able to function, the holy name should be chanted.
And then we have to leave everything back to Krishna.
Let Krishna look after the rest.
So after chanting holy name whole lifetime, when we are put into the hospital or wherever we are, at the fag end of our life,
a day will come when we won't be able to do anything of our own.
We will require help all the time for everything, for eating, for going to toilets, and all other help will be required.
Even one may not be able to turn from one side to the other.
But if we have chanted the holy name and practiced it, even while lying in that condition, if the tongue hasn't gone, still you can chant the holy name.
And then after that you have to leave it to Krishna.
And if a stage comes, you can't do that anymore.
And if at that stage, if Krishna is not able to help us, then what can be done?
That there is no point in surrendering and taking Krishna's shelter and chanting the holy name whole lifetime,
if at this last second, when body is totally finished, if Krishna hasn't come to the help, then what is the use of Krishna consciousness, isn't it?
But the fact is that those who have taken Krishna's holy name as their shelter, Srimad Bhagavatam as their shelter, even at the time of death, even though the body may be dysfunctional, but still that remembrance, smarana, memory, what Krishna says there, isn't it, in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita both, that smarana will bring Krishna back and Krishna will do the rest.
So courageously, with all our strength, with full force, we should do what we can.
As long as the body is there, as long as the health is there, and as long as the strength is there, and we should execute Bhagavata Dharma, Bhagavata Bhajana, or the holy name. After that what happens, that has to be left to Krishna.
And from there, Prahlada told the boys one more thing.
What was that?
After saying this, he said,
if you look there, you will see.
Look at the verse 14 in the Bhagavatam.
Kudamba poshaya viyanni jayur na buddhyadertam vihadam pramataha sarvatra tapatraya dukhidalma nirvidyade na so kudumbarama.
Kudamba poshaya viyanni jayur na buddhyadertam vihadam pramataha sarvatra tabatre dukhidalpa nurvidya denasya kutumbarama.
He is saying there that those who have taken just looking after family as the only business in life, they are called kutumbarama.
Kutumbarama.
Kutumbarama means one who has taken the vow in life,
I have only one responsibility in my life, that's to look after my family.
They are called Kudumbaramas.
They are also Ramas, but they are Kudumbaramas.
So, you tell them anything, then they will say, they'll talk about their family.
I got this responsibility, I got this problem at home, I got this, I got that.
So in everything, Kudumbam becomes a priority over everything else. Kudumbaraman. They are called Kudumbaramas. Not Atmaraman. Atmaraman is the opposite one. Kudumbarama is the opposite of Atmarama. Atmarama is all the time. Atmarama can also, if he is not Atmarama, you will become a Kudumbarama. Then some people say that there is no peace at home. There's so many problems, they say. Then you tell them, leave everything, come and hear Bhagavatam. They say, we don't have the time. We don't have the time. Valmiki mentions this, that one person who, from his own experience, he is saying this, that whole lifetime you spend for the family, and at the end, like the way they asked this question to Valmiki, some instance you have to ask this question. Remember, Valmiki was Ratnagara before. So to Ratnagara, they asked this question, for all your activities, will they accept the reaction from the result of your activities? And when you are in trouble, they will leave you. They won't be with you. And nobody can help you, and nobody will come for the help. For a jiva who is trying to escape from here, nobody is helpful, not even the close members in the family. For a jiva who is trying to escape from this situation, from material miseries, and trying to go up in spiritual life and free himself from this bondage here, even the family members won't be of any help. That is a known thing. That why they will come and put their desires and demands in front of us. Therefore, what do we have to do? What we have to do, we have to keep them at their right place at some point. That you shouldn't keep them above Krishna. In priority. Priority is for Krishna, not for them. So, the ultimate goal of life is going back to Krishna, to realizing the Self. Nothing should be kept above that. Therefore, considering that Krishna is more important than anything else, and we have to handle, with that understanding, we should handle the rest of life, whether family, the job, or anything else. Keeping this as the priority, one should handle everything. Therefore, he is saying that this tattvam should be known very well. Prahlada says to them, you can see vidvanabhitam dhanija kudumbam vidvanabhitam dhanija kudumbam pushnan svalokayana kalpadevai. Verse 16, in the 6th chapter, 7, 6, 16. Se suya bhara kyavibhinna bhava samapramadhyeda prabadhyeda yatha vimudha vidvanabhitam danuja kudumbam pushnansa lokaya na kalpadevai. He is saying to these friends that one who is only busy with the family life, such a person, even though he understands all these things, but he is not qualified to hear about the soul. Because the reason is, yasya pare kavibhinna bhava tama pramadhyeta yatha vimutham. This person, one who is so absorbed in the family, particularly, what the problem is, that he has already driven this wedge between him and others. Then start looking at everyone else as is separate. They are mine, family members are mine, others are all separate. This nature, this is in a very subtle way gets in, and then it becomes so important. Family becomes so important. Vidvanabhitam danuja kudumbam പുഷ്ണൻ സ ലോക എന്ന കൽപ്പദേവായി എ സീയ ഭാര്യയ്ക്ക് അവിഭിന്ന ഭാവം തമം പ്രമദ്യത. ദിസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഈസ് വെൻ തമോ ഗുണം ഇന്റെൻസ്ലി ബിൽഡ്സ് അപ്പ് ഇൻസൈഡ് ദിസ് വിഭിന്ന ഭാവം കംസ്. Others are also, the same Krishna is present within the family members, is present in them as well. So why we have to discriminate to this extent about them? Ya sviya bhare kavibhinna bhavam, ya tama pramadhyeda yadha vimuda. Because of the tama pramadhyeda yadha vimuda, because of the tamogunam inside. So therefore he says to him, Prahlada is saying to them, that I am separate, they are separate. And in this way, that he will go and fall into the deepest darkness. So all the time he is saying to these Asurya boys, his friends, that always you should look at this way, in all living entities, who is present there is Krishna. The same Atma which is in me, which is in the family, and which is the same, who is present in everywhere. And therefore, seeing the Shariri, not than the Shariram, seeing the person who, the Chaitanyam or the living force dwelling inside us, inside the family members, inside everyone else, in this way one should, with that understanding, one should surrender to Krishna and continue the worship. So, because he is present in everyone and he is present in the heart of everyone, and therefore he is saying here that that yadone kaschil kuja kutra jidwal dinasam almanam alam samartha vimojidam kamadrasham vigara kridamrgoyan nigado visarga. You can read through it. Is even though it is addressed to the boys, it's also addressed to us. We are not excluded from that. And there you will see a statement in the 24th verse, tasmal sarveshu bhudeshu dayam kurada sauhridam Asuram bhava unmuchya yada tushyati adhokshaja. He is saying here, tasmal sarveshu bhudeshu. Therefore, we shouldn't make these differences between us and them, or between we are separate. We are a privileged class, the others are not. And in this way, always discriminating people, that Veda Buddhi must go from inside. Wherever you find Veda Buddhi in people, you can more or less take it, the spiritual understanding is very poor. Veda Buddhi is coming from where? Ignorance. Because what Prahlada's point is, that Krishna is pleased, he says, that na hachudam prenayedo bahuayaso asuralmaja atmatval sarvabhudanam siddhatvaliha sarvada. Atmatval sarvabhudanam, only Krishna is here, nobody else. And he is present in all living entities equally, whether in the plants, animals, and consciousness, differences in the development in the consciousness. But consciousness, what is present, is the same in all living beings, whether it's the most advanced or the lowest person, whichever we take it. Therefore, Atmatval Sarvabhudanam, with that awareness, one should surrender to Krishna. So, that will, and then Bhakti Sadhana. What sadhana one should do, he spoke that in one word. This is the sadhana Prahlada is giving to us. Have you noticed that? Prahlada's sadhana to us is this. What is that? Tasmal sarveshu bhudeshu dayam kurida saukhridam. Be kind to everybody. Kind means compassionate to all living beings in this world. Tasmal sarveshu bhudeshu dayam kurida saukhridam. Always be open and helpful to others. Asuram bhavam unmichya eya tushyadi adoshaja. Don't bring that demonic nature in us that pleases Krishna. That's what he's saying. Asuram bhavam unmichya eya tushyadi adoshaja. He says, this is the sadhana Prahlada is giving to us. To look at all living entities in this world equally because of Krishna's presence in every one of them. They may be different in their swabhavam, everybody is different. But swarubam, everyone is the same. Is it not? It doesn't matter, American, European, Hindu, Christian, Muslim, no matter who it is, the swarubam wise, they are all same. In the swabhavam, you may find all the changes. So Prahlada's point is, wake up to the swarubam, don't look at the swabhavam. Swabhavam can vary. Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu, he says. Tasmal sarveshu bhudeshu dayam kurada sauhridam Asuran bhava unmuchya yaya tushyati adhokshaja. That is what pleases Krishna. Yaya tushyati adhokshaja. He says, that pleases Krishna. So this is the sadhana what Prahlada has given to everybody. So, then, so how would you worship? How would you worship Krishna? That to realize this first, Hari is present in everybody. And how will you worship that Hari? Dayam kurida saukhradam. That whoever requires your mercy, your compassion, whoever requires your mercy, and who require your service, serve them. Serve them. And if they are on an equal level, in every way they are equal by all situations, then show them with the sauhrada bhav. That means in that friendly way, offer the respects and give up the asuric nature inside us. Yada tushyadi athokshaja. Krishna will be pleased by that. In this way, Prahlada spoke in a very light, very simple way, but in a very serious way about it. And also, Prahlada said to them about the instructions Narada Maharshi has given to him. Narada Maharshi has given to him. That we have seen before, isn't it? So, so in this way, all the Asura boys, his friends, they have then, Pida Shrunvan Bala Prakaramagilam Tulstudibaram Rushandham Tadashanga Vishta Sapunaradi Drishto Osyajanego Guru Kya Talgehe Gila Varunabasha Istamarunal Guruscha Sanidhi Sapunaranugan Daityadanayan Bhaval Bhakte Satvam Paramambabi Vijnanamashishal. See the last word, 8th verse in the Narayaniyam, 24th chapter, verse 8. Bhaval bhakte satvam paramamabhi vijnanam ashishal. That bhaval bhakte satvam paramavijnanamabhi paramamabhi vijnanam ashishal. He says that bhagaval tattvam, Narada Maharshi, Prahlada gave it to them. What's the bhagavat tattvam? Bhagavat tattvam is this. This is Bhagavat Tattva. Bhagavat Tattva means understanding Krishna's presence in everywhere, in every life. Wherever there is life, it's Krishna who is present there. That acknowledgement, recognition of that. Then, and what he did was, Prahlad is always experiencing this within himself, this realization. That's why he has no hate towards anybody. And that realization what he had, he is giving it to them as well. Telling them, this is what I am experiencing. So, he is practically telling them his realizations, what he is experiencing at that moment, right? And he should know, that it is through amayaya bhaktiya. Amaya Bhaktiya means that Bhaval Bhakte Satvam Paramamabhi Vijnanam Ashishal. That Amaya Bhaktiya means bhakti for Krishna should not be duplicitous. That's the most important thing. Amala Bhakti. Amala Bhakti means Maya, which is not mixed with Maya. Bhakti, which is not mixed with Maya. That will give you realization of the self, Prahlad is saying. You will realize the self if bhakti is executed without any mixture of maya in there. Maya means this selfish interest and one who looks after oneself and does not bother about others. That's not considered, that is bhakti with maya in there. If you take the maya out of bhakti, then only then this knowledge will work. This knowledge will work. So, when he said that, when Prahlad was instructing this to the boys who were there, Shanda and Damarka saw that. And they noticed that the children have started chanting the holy name. They start chanting the holy name. And Prahlad is continuously talking to them about the importance of chanting the holy name. So they thought that if we allow this to continue, these people will become a separate group of Harinam. Group will start separate independently. And so therefore, what they did, they took control of him, Prahlada, and told him to come with them back to Hiranyakashipu again. And there's no point in talking to him, because if we keep on listening to him, one day we will also fall into that same net. Prahlada's he's so powerful, he was so influential in speaking to people about that. So they didn't want that to happen, and so therefore they were worried that probably they may start another temple inside the school itself. A separate group will come up there, and they will continue their own programs. And so therefore, sensing all these things, they brought him back and put him in front of Hiranyakashipu and told him that you can manage with him now. We can't do anything about him, he said. That's why you will see. Pita Shrunvan, ninth verse in the Narayaniyam. Pita Shrunvan Bala Pragaram Akhilam Twal Studiparam Rushandha Prahainam Kulahataka Kaste Belamiti Belamme Vaikuntha Tavaja Jagadam Chabisabalam Saeva Trailokyam Sagalamiri Dhiro Yamagadil. Belam me vaikuntha stavaja jagadam chabisa belam sa eva trailokyam sagalamidi dhiro yamagadil. They are asking him that Hiranyakashipu caught hold of Prahlada and looked at him. In the Bhagavatam you will say, hey Durvinida, Mandalma, all kinds of names Bhagavatam, they call him like that. Where are you getting your this? Why are you so obstinate? Where do you get this strength from to speak like this to me? Mandalma, kulabhayataka, adhama, all these kind of words he's used here, Prahlada. Prahlada was very calm and very composed. And he said that Prahlada had no tension, Prahlada had no trouble, no hate also. And at the same time, Hiranyakashipu's tension is building up inside. That hate inside, anger. He says, you have come here to destroy our race. Our family reputation is at stake, he's saying. Because personalities like Indra and all the demigods, they offer respects to me. Who are you like this to be? And you are standing in front of me without any fear. And where do you get this strength to behave like this, he said. Where is that strength coming from? So Prahlada, in a very respectful way, says to him that there is only one force in this world. There is not so many forces. Power is only Belam. Belam, that's what he said. That's what he said. Pida Shrunvan Bala Pragaram Ahilam Tul Studivaram Rushanda Prahinam Kulahataha Haste Belamidi. Belamme vaikuntha. Belam is Krishna. Krishna is the only power in this world. Belamme vaikuntha tavaja jagadam cha abisa belam. Your power is coming from that vaikuntham. And nobody else has any power in this world. In fact, he is the one who gives the power to everybody. Individually, no one has any power. He, because of his presence, he gives power to everybody. So that power is only one, and that is Krishna. Krishna alone has the power. Nobody else has any power. Atma is the only source who has the power. Belam me vaikuntham. That's what he said. Belam me vaikuntha tavaja jagadam cha apisa belam sa eva trailokyam sagalamidi dhiroyamagadil. And if you remember this, then I don't have any power, he said. You also don't have any power. He says to Prahlada, he's saying this to Hiranyakashipu. You don't have any power. I also don't have any power. And no one else in this world has got any power. It is he who has the power. Krishna has all the power. Is that not the same? Dhrumara said to Krishna, Yo andapravishya imam amavajam imam prasuptam sanjeevayadi akhila shaktidara sotamnam anyam shahastajarana shravanatvakadin pranan namo bhagavade purushaya dubhyam. Well, for the first verse of the Drosudhi itself is, Dhrumaraj is saying to Krishna, by entering into everyone, every living being in this world, who gives the power to their hands and legs and the senses, everything to function, and keep this body moving, where is that power coming from? Krishna. So, it's the same thing, what Dhrumaraj said that, Prahlad is also saying the same thing to Hiranyakashipu. Nobody else has any power. Velam me vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means Krishna. Velam me vaikundastavaja jagadam chabi sabalam sa eva trailokyam sagalamidi dhiroyamagadil. So, you have asked me, who has given you this power? And he is not only gives me the power, he is the power for all the three planetary systems. Sa eva trailokyam, for all the three worlds, sagalamidi dhiroyamagadil. All the three worlds is nothing but Vishnu. Vishnu is present in the higher planet, middle planet, lower planets, everywhere. And that Vaikuntha Prabhu is present all over the creation, and that is his Swarupam. That is his Swarupam. And except him, there is nothing else here. And he has gone into everyone, and he gives the power to everybody. Vishnu. That's why Vyapanashilan is Vishnu. Vishnu is present everywhere. He has entered into everyone's body and gives the power for them to function in this world. Like Dhrumaraj said, Anyamsha Hasta Charana Shravana Togadin Prananama Bhagavade Purushayatubhyam. Because in everyone's body, he is the Pranan. The five different kinds of life here, Prananapanan, Samanan, Udanan, Vyanan, all that. And therefore, he is able to breathe. Breathing in, breathing out. Pranan. The hands and legs are functioning because of pranan. Because of pranan. The intelligence is working because of pranan. All the senses are functioning. Eyes are able to see. The ears are able to hear. All that is functioning because of pranan inside. And the root of all this is Atma. And Vishnu is present inside as the Atma of everybody, of everyone. And in this way, your body is functioning in the same way like my body is functioning. Krishna is inside you, because Prahlada is only seeing Vishnu in a body. He's not seeing that, he's not thinking Hiranyakashipu is a separate person. It is Vishnu who is present inside. Outwardly, the form may be different, but inside the force behind that is Vishnu. So a person, Prahlada, who has realized this, he cannot speak otherwise. He has to speak in this way. He has no choice, isn't it? And he says there, that Vishnu, who is giving you power, he is giving me power, because he is seeing the same himself present in Hiranyakashipu. And he is, and then if you realize this, Prahlada said to Hiranyakashipu, if you realize this, then you will never... your power will never go. Because you have not realized that, that's why you are thinking in terms of my power, your power, his power, like that. That is because you haven't realized this. If you have realized this, that power, that source, is never diminishes. It continuously supplies the energy from there. And if you have not realized that, that he is the source, then whatever austerities you perform, whatever strength you try to acquire, because from austerities you get strength, right? But when your austerities power is finished, your strength also will go. Till you realize that the source is somebody else, and that source is Krishna. Similarly, tapasya, when tapasya austerities finishes, its power finishes, your power is gone. When yoga power goes away, your strength will go. When meditation power goes away, your strength will go. So when the power goes away, why the reason is that when you lose your power, you will realize that up to that time you are thinking that you are performing the meditation and you have acquired this power by your strength. The connection is like that. Because you have thought like that, it will keep losing at the end because it's only very limited. But if you realize that the strength is not mine, it is not that I have acquired, and there is only one power in this world operating, the whole creation, and that nature of that is avyayam. You remember about Atma when he spoke, about the 12 qualities of Atma, one of them is avyayam. Avyayam means it doesn't get exhausted. Our energy, if you think it's my energy, it will get exhausted one day. But if the flow is coming from Alpa, spiritual energy, coming from the soul, that will never get exhausted. And that will never get exhausted. And that power will never go. It will continuously keep flowing through the realized souls. It always keeps flowing through them. So actually, there is only one power in this world. People are calling by different names that one power that's operating in the whole creation. And he is present in everyone as the very root of everybody's existence, and it has no reduction at all. This is basically the difference between Ashtanga Yogam and Jnana Margam. Ashtanga Yogam and Jnanam, this is the basic difference. In the Ashtanga Yogam, what is happening is, you are acquiring the strength through Yoga Sadhana, is it not? Yamam, Niyamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. You are doing on your own, and in this way you are acquiring the strength. And that is a kind, you do acquire a lot of strength, but that strength will remain according to the strength of your sadhana. According to the strength of your sadhana. That means, depending on how powerful your yoga sadhana is, correspondingly, your strength, yogic strength, yoga strength also, accordingly, yes. When the yoga sadhana, suppose you are in a yoga, you are following the yoga process, Ashtanga Yogam. As long as you are doing that yoga sadhana, the strength will be there. But if the yoga sadhana strength goes away, that means you have given up the sadhana process, and you are living a life like anyone else in this world, without that asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam and all that, your strength will come down. But jnana sadhana is different. Jnana sadhana, what they do is, that in jnana sadhana, ahangaram goes away. You don't exist anymore. Therefore, they recognize that there is only one force existing here, nothing else is here. So, therefore, whatever power you have acquired through yoga sadhana, that will go, whereas jnana sadhana, it is a timeless, or it is never gets exhausted. You can see this. Durvasav has yoga sadhana in him, and that got exhausted. Ambarish had bhakti sadhana. And because he surrendered to Krishna to such a degree, and Sharanagati, total Sharanagati, isn't it? So therefore, he does not have any strength of his own, who? Ambarish. Durvasa was a powerful rishi, had a lot of yoga sadhana in him, great personality no doubt, but because of that yoga sadhana, ultimately had to surrender to this bhakti sadhana. Basically, surrendering to Ambarish means, actually he was surrendering to Krishna. Because it is Krishna's energy that's coming through Ambarish. Is it not? Ambarish had no ahangaram inside, completely dependent on Krishna. Therefore, what happened? Krishna has to do the rest of it. Whereas Durvasa's case was, yoga sadhana he has performed, therefore, he was very powerful yogi. You can imagine throughout Mahabharata, in so many places where he comes and creates a lot of trouble with Draupadi and all that, with the Akshayavatram, that incident, and then with Ambarish later. And later on, when finally, when Krishna had to leave the planet, Durvasa was also part of that Leela. Is it not? Samba and others, when they became pregnant and they showed acted pregnancy, showed it to Durvasa, was the one who told them. Told them off, actually. So it all came true. Durvasa was very well respected. Krishna has a lot of respect for Durvasa. Gopis goes to see Durvasa. So Durvasa is a great rishi. Mahatma, great personality. But still, yoga, power of yoga sadhana, the difference between Durvasa and Ambarish, Krishna spoke to him at the end. To show to them that sadhunam, he says there in the ninth canto, you will see there, that Ambarish is so surrendered to me, he has nothing of his own. Whatever he has got is me, nothing else. So I have to do this. So there it is a proof that bhakti of Ambarish, bhakti sadhana of Ambarish has actually shown its strength. He doesn't have anything else. So when one is surrendered like that, at that stage, whenever it is required for a devotee, that force is ready to act because of the surrender. That is the important thing. To that degree, Ambarish was surrendered. Surrender is the key. That complete dependence on Krishna for everything. And in that situation, you don't have to have your own strength anymore. You don't need any strength. Everything he will take care. That attitude. So, Prahlada did not... Watch here also between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu. Prahlada did not perform penances standing in one leg for years together. That powerful penances what Hiranyakashipu has performed. He didn't do that, isn't it? Nobody has given him any particular boon or benedictions, nothing like that. And other hand, Hiranyakashipu executed such severe austerities and penances, and he acquired a lot of boons from Brahma. And he had kept all these things with him, but Prahlada had nothing with him. Only thing Prahlada had was he has surrendered completely to Krishna. Total dependence on Krishna. No matter what happens, it's Krishna who is doing that. So you can notice the difference between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, Durvasa and Ambarish. Durvasa was a yogi. And through yogi power, he managed to reach such heights in spiritual life. But still, it did not work with Ambarish. That pastime is not to create, put Ambarish over Durvasa. That's not the intention. That's our ragadvesham that's working. We have ragadvesham. We should never speak ill of Durvasa. Durvasa is one of the greatest personalities. Krishna considers him very dear to him. But that pastime is to prove it, show it to us that we should surrender to Krishna. Surrendering gives a strength to us to prove that pastime is shown in the Bhagavadam. And not to create any ill will or ill feeling towards Durvasa and start looking at him as though he is an insignificant person. I am a devotee. What is Durvasa? Who is Durvasa? That's not the attitude. That's misunderstanding. So, so similarly here, Prahlada surrendered to such a degree. That surrender is the key in all these things. If you could surrender like Prahlada, if you could surrender like Ambarish, then you don't need any shastram, you don't need any yogam, you don't need anything but total dependence on Krishna. That is why that Prahlada realized this, and without any sadhana, without any other demands, no blessings, no boons, nothing, he has totally surrendered to that truth, one truth, and Hiranyakashipu got frightened of him. And Hiranyakashipu, who frightened Indra and others, he is now frightened about this little boy who is standing in front of him, who doesn't have any strength of his own, totally dependent on Krishna and speaking like this. So that is why he got a little suspicious about this whole thing. It's not, Hiranyakashipu is not getting any understanding. How can this happen? Indra has surrendered to me. Indra is powerful, isn't he? And Indra was frightened of me. This little boy, 3-4 years old, in front of me, he is speaking so freely, he has no strength of his own, but where is the strength coming from then? This was the question. And he got frightened, and therefore he is asking here that,
Balam me vaikunda, tavaja jagadam chaapi sabalam, sa eva trailokyam sagalamadi dhiro yamagadil.
That the balam or strength of you, me, and the power of this whole world is Vaikuntha, Krishna. So, and he alone exists in these three worlds, nothing else. Very boldly he spoke this to Hiranyakashipu. And basically Prahlada is only seeing Krishna everywhere, nothing else. For him, we all individuals don't exist. Individuals don't exist. Only one thing for him exists, that's Krishna. Krishna means this one force, Atma, who is present in the whole creation. Present everywhere, in everything, in everyone. When that state, totally realized state, in other words, no more captive, no more attracted by the Maya's energies, any of them. Okay. So, when Hiranyakashipu heard that, he got again more angry when he heard this. Where is he said. Where is he? You talking about someone who I have not seen him so far. You say he's everywhere. He says. So he asked him, where is he? It was then the beauty in the Narayaniyam. He says, Are kwasau kwasau sagala jagadalma hariniti prabindesmastambham chalida karavalo didisudaha adapashad vishnu nahi vadidvishosmi sahasa kripalman vishwalman pavanavaravasin mridayamam. And that was made Hiranyakashipu furious. He was so furious. He says, Are kwaso kwaso, where is he? Where is he? Where is your sagala jagadalma hariridhi? That who you are saying he is present everywhere. Where is he? He is saying, sagala jagadalma hariridhi prabindesmastambham chalida karavalo didisudaham. Saying this, he said, he moved and the stambham, the pillar that was there, he hit that. And chalida karavalo didisudaham. Suddenly the pillar broke up. Adapashad Vishnu nahi vadidumishosmi sahasa. That Narasimham was waiting inside the pillar to come out, dressed up fully, ready to come out inside the pillar. And when he pulled out his sword and hit that pillar, from inside he came out. And that is what he is saying. Adapashad Vishnu. Melpathur was so excited about that. He says, I can't say anymore after that. And he finished that day and went home. Adapashad Vishnu nahi vadidum ishosmi sahasa krivalpan vishwalpan pavanavuravasin mridayamam. Are kwaso kwaso sagala jagadalpa hariridi prabindesmastambham chalida karavalo didisudam adapashad Vishnu nahi vadidum ishosmi sahasa. Melpathur says to Krishna, nahi vadidum ishosmi sahasa. I cannot say anymore what happened then. I don't have the energy to talk about what happened after that. And saying this, Kripalpa, Vishwalpa, see all the way he has addressed, Kripalpa, showing that mercy to Prahlada, the way Narasimham came. Vishwalpa, who is present in everyone, isn't it? Pavanaviravasin mridayamam, who is present here as Vishnu, who is present in the temple as Vishnu. Mridayamam, protect me. Saying this, Melpathur closed that chapter that day. So, he asked him that, in the Bhagavadam, it is a little difference in the way it's spoken. He says to them that, where is Hari? Where is Hari? He said, is he in the pillar? He asked. That, if it is in the pillar, kasmal stambhena drishyade, you will see. in the Bhagavatam. Kasmal sambhena drishyate. Why can't I see him in the pillar? He said, Prahlada says, drishyate khalu sarvatra, drishyate hari eva drishyate, na anyatra drishyate. I can't see anything else except Hari. I can only see Krishna everywhere. And you are saying, he asks Krishna, Hiraneshu is saying, you say that he is everywhere. Why can't I find? Is he in the pillar? Kasmal stambhena drishyate. Prahlada says, I can only see him, I can't see anything else. I can't see the pillar, I can't see anything. I can only see Hari everywhere. So, and so when Kasmal stambhena drishyate, when Hiranyakashipu said, Prahlada says, drishyate khalu sarvatra, drishyate Hari eva. I can only see Hari, nothing else. Drishyade, na anyatra drishyade, nothing else I can see. Prahlada is saying, Krishna is saying to Prahlada, say, keep saying, don't worry about anything, everything will be okay. I'll take care of that, he said. So, Prahlada only sees Hari, nothing else. Hiranyakashipu cannot see Hari, he can see everything else. This is the difference. In the conditioned state, we see everything. We don't see Krishna. It's in the Chadishlogi Bhagavatam also. Khridartam yat pradiyyada na pradiyyada shalpani tadvidya alpano mayam yathabhaso yathatama. Second verse. Right? Like us, we are more close to Hiranyakashipu than to Prahlada. We see everything, isn't it? And we say, this exists, that exists, that exists, everything exists for us. For Prahlada, nothing exists. What exists is only Krishna. Khridartam yat pradiyyada na pradiyyada shalpani. Only Prahlada seeing the Atma present everywhere. Hiranyakashipu is not seeing Atma. Hiranyakashipu is seeing Yathabhasam Yathatama. All the Abhasam. This is all the Abhasam. Abhasam means seeing everyone separately. Different. So, in the Upanishad says, Drishtim, the Drishti, their vision is different, right? Both of them are seeing the same world. Both Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu are seeing the same world. Upanishad says, Drishti jnanamayim kritva pashyet brahmamayam jagat. That means, if Drishti is jnanamayam, if your vision is with knowledge, if it is affected with knowledge, then you will see Brahman everywhere, Atma, Krishna, everywhere. What you will see is only Krishna, Brahman. That is a realization. It's not seeing with the eye. It's a realization inside. Drishti jnanamayam kritva pashyet brahmamayam jagat. And drishti, if it is ajnanamayam, ajnanamayam means if it is ignorance, our drishti is, then jagat is jadam. It's all matter. Everything is matter. So people ask this question. When do you say something is spirit, something is matter? From Shastram, there is only spirit. There is no matter. Matter is our vision. In our vision, we see matter. In reality, there is no such thing called matter. Matter is due to our vision, the way we see things. In spiritually realized state, there is only spirit, Atma. That is the difference. That is difficult to, in our conditioned state, with a conditioned body, mind and senses, that experience cannot happen to us now. And that is why it's not possible to explain. People ask this question, what is spirit, what is matter? They will always ask this question. What is spirit and what's matter? The answer is, there is only spirit, there is no such thing called matter. Matter is due to our vision, we have developed this understanding. Matter is dead, matter is matter is different. So, this satya asatya also, when we define in the Bhagavad Gita, na sado vidyate bhavam bhava vidyate, initially, the difference is there, when you are not in the realized state. But when the realization happens, ultimately, there is only spirit here. There is only spirit here. For example, in the Ramayanam, you will see this story, that Ahilya was in the form of a stone there. When Ramachandra touched his feet, the toe on that stone, the stone turned out to be Ahilya. Ahilya, the personality. So Ahilya can become a stone, Ahilya can be the person Ahilya also. So actually the original state is spirit. But when you are, when our consciousness is not developed, when we go into the lower species, the lowest of all existence is this dead matter in the stone and things like that. That is a lower existence. So here you can see Prahlada's drishti is jnanamayam, full of knowledge. Hiranyakashipu's drishti is completely ajnanamayam, full of ignorance. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu sees everything as matter, Prahlada sees everything as spirit. That's the difference. And now, look at the sadhana they have performed. Prahlada hasn't done any sadhana. Narada Maharshi gave the instructions to him in the womb. That's all. That's all what he has got. Hiranyakashipu has performed so much sadhana, so much austerities and penances in the forest, but still drishti is ajnanamayam, ignorance, isn't it? So he is saying, here is a pillar, here is the post, here is a mic, here is a table, everything individually separately. And here is the sky, here is the earth, and here is the ground, here is the male, here is the female, and here is the tree. In this way, this is all ajnanamayam, ajnanam that is. So, this is different than the other, and due to that, the distress. So, when you keep on looking at it this way, one different from the other, in that way, if we keep on living in that way, mrityoho mrityum apnodi. Mrityoho mrityum apnodi means, from one death, you will have to experience another death. You will die now, accept another body, and die again. That means, this separation existing in us continuously means that as long as we have this separated vision in us existing, then you have to carry on transmigrating from one body to another. One body to another. It's a part of that. So, so when you start seeing that it's only Vishnu who is present in everything, names may be different. We say Vishnu, Krishna and many other things. But that Atma's presence, consciousness presence, once that oneness is experienced, then there is no more birth, there is no more death. He has come above the death. He has gone beyond the death. So, that is why it said here, Hiranyakashipu, remember in the beginning, he wanted to win over death. Is it not? That was his goal. But, because he has got this Veda Buddhi in him, here, now he is going to die. Hiranyakashipu is going to die. And Prahlada, he never wanted to win over death. There was no such thing in his plan. For him, the whole creation is Brahmamayam. Brahmamayam. Everything is Brahmam. And therefore, Mrityu, death, does not exist for him. He has no... So, Prahlada says, Sarvatra Vishnu. So, when they ask this, Sambhe Kasmal Sambhena Drishyade, he said in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Kasmal Sambhe Na Drishyade, he said. So, when he said that, Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlada, Kasmal Sambhe Na Drishyade, you will see that right before the appearance of Narasimha. 8? Yeah, 13. Yastvayam andabhagyokto madanyo jagadishwara kvaso yadisa sarvatra kasmal sambhena drishyade. Says kasmal sambhena drishyade. He said, isn't it? So, he is not only in the pillar, he is the pillar of the whole creation. It's on him. So, this world is in him. The world is existing in him. In him. So, then you cannot ask that does he there in the pillar see the difference in the vision between between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu. Prahlada is saying here, Hiranyakashipu is asking, why can't I see him in the pillar? Prahlada is saying that the whole creation is in him. In him. It is in him, he is the pillar of the whole creation, in other words. Therefore, what's the point in asking, is he in the pillar or not? That's what you will find there, that 10th verse. Are kwasau kwasau sagara jagadalpa haririti prabhinde smastambham chalida karavalo didisudaha adapaschad vishnu nahi vadidum ishosmi sahasa kripalman vishwalman pavanaviravasin mridayamam. Mridayamam said that when this verse was written, at that time Melputur was a little shaken. Why? Because till now he was seeing the deity as Krishna there, standing inside the deity room. It was Krishna who was standing there. But when he looked at this time, Melputur is not seeing that form anymore there. Instead, seeing Narasimham there. Krishna is not there in the... It's all vision, isn't it, at the end. That outsiders may be seeing one way, but Melputur's vision is, when he looked inside, it is not Krishna there, it is Narasimham standing there. That is why he said, I can't say anymore anything. He got a real shock of his life, in his life. So apparently they say he got frightened when he see Narasimham inside in the deity room. That is why. So that is why he said, who is present in the pillar and the iron everywhere? I cannot say anymore anything. That's why he immediately put an abrupt stop for that verse. Kripa alpan vishwa alpan pavana viravasin mridayamam. Say that, I am feeling frightened, he said. Kripa alpan vishwa mridayamam. I am feeling frightened. Kripa alpan vishwa alpan pavana viravasin mridayamam. I am frightened, he said. So, because when he looked inside, he can't see Krishna the way he was seeing before. Normally, Krishna is dressed up in the morning as a little boy holding butter in the hand, flute on the hips, and wearing a brahmachari's dress, and with a crown, and with a smiling face, he is standing there. And that's the form Melputur is addressing to. But when Narasimham's, these verses were spoken, he couldn't see. Instead, he saw Narasimhamurti there. And as soon as he saw that, he got frightened. Kripalpan Vishwalpan Pavana Viravasin Mridayamam. In the Bhagavadam, in the 8th chapter, you will see that the appearance, right? Satyam Vidhadum, 18th verse. 7, 8, 18. Satyam Vidhadum Nijabratya Bhashidam Vyaptinja Bode Shakile Shuchalpana Adrishadatral Buddha Albudaruba Mudwahan Stambhe Sabhayam Namragam Namanusham Satyam Vidhadam Nijabritya Bhashidam Vyaptinja Bode Shakile Shuchalpana Adrishadatral Buddha Albudaruba Mudwahan Stambhe Sabhayam Namragam Namanusham. Then and this in Bhagavadam, that verse, Melputur's, what he saw in the next, Narasimhavataram, the first verse, chapter 25, how he saw, Stambe gathayado hiranyakashipo karnau samachurnayan akurna jagadanda kundakuharo ghorastava bhudrava shrutvayam gila Daityaraja hridaye purvam kadapyashrutam kambakaschana sambhavada chalido ambhojabhur vishtaral. That is that verse. That when Hiranyakashipu hit that pillar, the pillar cracked, and from there Narasimham came. Not in the normal way, with a roar. With a roar he came out. Why? In order to make the words of his servant true. That, what is that? Prahlada has said that he is present everywhere. He has to prove that. That's Krishna's duty now. Prahlada has said something, Krishna has to prove that. Is it not? Our Hiranyakashipu could never believe that such a thing will happen. He could never believe that, in his dream even, that a pillar looks the same, no change at all. Pillar looks exactly the same. Suddenly it cracks, and from him, Narasimham comes. So what for? Satyam vidhadam najabritya bhashidam. Because Prahlada said so. Therefore it has to be proven to them. And therefore their vastu, what Bhagavatam says as the vastu, has came out from the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu karnau sama churnayan. The way when he came, stambe gattayado Hiranyakashipu karnau sama churnayan. His ears were completely in a, how do you say, when you have a very loud voice, how that will affect your ears. The whole eardrum has been broken to that extent. Such a strong sound that has come from that. Karna usama churnayan. That it came out from there inside. And Hiranyakashipu karna usama churnayan. Hiranyakashipu's ears, because of this roar of the way Narasimham roared, it went through the eardrum. And what else it says? Karnau sama churnayan aghurna jagadanda kunda kuharo ghorastava bhudravam. That jagadanda kunda kuharam, that in this universe itself, that the whole Brahmandam or the universe itself, it has shaken. The whole universe experienced that roar of Narasimham. And such a powerful akurna jagadanda kunda kuhara ghorastava bhudravam. Two personalities, akurna jagadanda kunda kuhara ghorastava bhudrava. That two this hearing this sound, two personalities normally who don't get frightened, they got frightened. Two personalities. Normally they are not frightened. They're not frightened of anything in this creation. Two personalities. One, our Hiranyakashipu. He has no fear of anything. He's such a person, isn't it? But he got frightened hearing that roar. Because when Narasimham came, Hiranyakashipu looked at him, Narasimham. There is not a form like this, never seen before. Half man, half lion. And this roar. So, Hiranyakashipu's mind went straight up, back to his boons, what he got. He thought, I have taken a boon from Brahma, saying what? That no animal, no human, no demigods, none of them can kill me. How would you categorize this form now? Half man, half lion. Which form will you? So somebody has broken my promise. I have not taken the full precautions, he thought. I have, my insurance policy is not fully covered, like we say. Isn't it? You will book your travel insurance and you go there and you need something and then you call them and say, oh, that's not covered. They tell you that, isn't it? And the same thing. It's not much different. Hiranyakashipu has taken his insurance policy from Brahma. But when it came, when the need came, he says, Narasimham is not included in the policy. This is what happened. Narasimham is not included because Brahma says, no human species will give you any trouble. You won't have, you'll have complete control over them. Demigods are concerned, they can't touch you. Animals are concerned, they can't touch you. Which category you will put this one in? Narasimham. So that is why Hiranyakashipu realized that his policy is not valid. So he straight away got frightened. He got frightened. As soon as you hear that your policy cannot support your travel insurance, then you are in a shock, isn't it? So the same shock Hiranyakashipu had. Then Brahma got frightened. Next, two people got frightened. One was Hiranyakashipu because of this. I don't know whether insurance policy had at the bottom, what do they call the...
Disclaimer.
Maybe Hiranyakashipu didn't read it properly, who knows. Whatever it may be, the thing is this, that Hiranyakashipu is in trouble. Narasimham, half man, half lion, a form like this, never seen before. Brahma got frightened. You know what Brahma did? He got up and stood in the lotus flower. He was sitting there, hearing this roar and the sound, everything. He also, because it is not in his creation, he was always thinking, everything has been created by me. Now there is another form comes out and says, I am here. So he got shock. He got the shock of his life. Because Brahma thought, I have given the blessings to Hiranyakashipu. Will he get me now? That is the fear in Brahma. Brahma got frightened because I have given the benedictions that you will never die. Everything is covered in the policy. I have told him. The policy is covering everything. But now Hiranyakashipu will come back to me and say, he'll caught my hold my shirt and says to me that you have cheated me. So therefore, that is what it is saying there. That Shrutvayam kila daityaraja hridaye purvam kadapya shrutam kambakaschana sam. You see that verse? Kambakaschana sambhavada chalido amboja purvishtaral. The Shrutvayam, first person who got the shock was Daityarajan, Hiranyakashipu. Daityaraja hridaye purvam kadapya shrutam. Then the other one, Kamba kaschana sambhavada chalido, Lord Brahma. Ambojabhu vishtaral. One who sits in the lotus flower, he got up from there because of the shock he had. Both of them. These are the two people who got shaken by Narasimha. By Narasimha. Then, that powerful, frightening form of Narasimha came. And then you can see Daitye Dikshu Visrishta Jakshushimaha Samrambhini Stambhada Sambhodam Namrgalmagam Namanujakaram Babuste Vibho. This day, on this 25th day, this is happening. Chapter is 25, that means the 25th day. Melpatur came in the morning. The whole night he was thinking. He had no pain that night. Whole night he was thinking, how should I, because he is always inside, he is planning what words, how to put it together in the verses in the next day, how it's going to be, the verses going to be spoken, right? So he is thinking about Narasimham Surubam, I have to describe tomorrow, Narasimha Avataram. So that is how he spoke. Daitye Dikshu Visrishta Jakshushimaha Samrambhini Stambhada Sambhodam namrgalmadam namanujakaram babuste vibho kim kim bhishanam edadalbudamidi vilbhranda chitto sure vispurja dhavalo graroma vigasa dorshma samajrambhada tapta swarna savarna ghurna dadirukshaksham sadakesaram prulkamba pranikumbidambaramaho jiyalta vedam vabho vyata vyapta mahadari sakamukham Khalgo Gravalgan Mahajikwa Nurgamadrushyamana Sumaha Damsha Yugo Damaram Ulsarpadulibhanga Bhishanahanu Hraswastaviyastaram Grivam Bivarado Shadol Gadanaha Kruram Shudurol Banam Vyomo Langriganakhano Bhamakhanam Pradhwana Nurdhavidam Spardhalu Pragaram Namami Bhavadam Tam Narasimham Vabhum Nunam Vishnurayam Nihanmamidi Brahmyalgada Bhishanam Daityendram Samubhadravandamadhyada Dorbhyam Pradubhyamamam Viro Nargalidodakhalkavalagav Grahanan Vijitra Shravan Vyavranvan Punarabhavada Bhuvanam Grasodhyadam Tvamaho Brahmyandam Didijadhamam Punarabhi Prol Grahya Dorbhyam Javal Dware Dhoriyuge Nivatya Nakharan Vilghaya Vaksho Bhuvi Narbhindam Madigarbha Narbharagalam Rektambu Baddho Elsavam Payam Payam Udairayo Bahujagal Samhari Simharavan Tektuadam Hadamashu Rektalahari Siktonam Advarshmani Pratulpatya Samastha Daitya Badalim Chakadhyamane Tvai Brahmyal Bhumi Vigambidam Budigulam Vyalola Shailo Olkaram Prol Sarpal Khajaram Chara Jaramaho Dusta Mavastam Dadho താവന്മാംസവാകരാളവപുഷം ഘോരാന്ധ്രമാലാധനം ത്വാം മധ്യേ സവമിദ്ധരോഷരുഷിതം ദുർവാര ഗുർവാരവം അഭ്യേദം നശശാക കോപി ഭുവനേ ദൂരേ സ്ഥിതാ ഭീരവ സർവേ ശർവവിരിഞ്ജവാസവമുഖ പ്രത്യേക മസ്തോഷധാം ഭൂയോപ്യക്ഷതരോഷധാം നിഭവതി ബ്രഹ്മാജ്ഞയാ ബാലകേ പ്രഹ്ലാദേ പദയോർണമത്യപഭയേ കാരുണ്യഭാരാകുലാം ശാന്തസ്ത്വം കരമസ്യ മൂർധ്നി സമധ സ്തോത്രൈരഥോൽഘായത തസ്യാ കാമധിയോപിതേ നിധവരം ലോകായ ചാനുഗ്രഹം ഏവം നാടിത രൗദ്രജേഷ്ഠിത വിഭോ ശ്രീതാപനീയാഭിത ശ്രുത്യന്ത സ്ഫുടഗീത സർവമഹിമൻ അത്യന്ത ശുദ്ധാകൃതേ തത്താദൃഖിലോത്തരം പുനരഹോ കസ്ത്വാം പരോലംഘയേൽ പ്രഹ്ലാദ പ്രിയ ഹേ മരുൽ പുരപദേ സർവാമയാൽ പാഹി മാം. So those 10 verses, Melpathur spoke to Narasimham. Melpathur spoke to Narasimham. It is a whole description of Narasimham's form, and Narasimham, after killing Hiranyakashipu, that ferocious and frightening form of Narasimham standing there. He says, Tapta Swarna Suvarna. He says, Tapta Swarna Suvarna Ghurna Dadirutchaksham Sadakesaram. Just like molten gold. Molten gold. The eyes were like that color. Molten gold. And it is shining so powerful. And the lions, part of these lions, isn't it? The lion's part, that when the lion's, what do they call the mane, isn't it? On the lion's that, when it's lying and when it gets up, it will shake up, it will shake that mane. Similarly, Narasimham came out of the pillar like that, like the lion gets up and comes out in the same way, shaking himself out. So when that hair on that sadadama, that they call it, that it is present in such a big level, huge form, Hiranyakashipu has seen that. And when he looks at the face, the mouth looked as though it's a huge cave. And from there comes out this tongue, which was like a sword, and damstra, that means that canine teeth, is that what they call it, isn't it? The powerful teeth, the two here and two here, when it comes out like that. And the nails, which were very powerful as well. And he says there, jihwa nirgama drishya, third verse, jihwa nirgama drishyamana samaha damstra yugo damaram, that for a second Hiranyakashipu got a fear inside him. But what is interesting there is he pulled back, he got his strength back to fight. Who gave the strength? Krishna gave him the strength to do that. Why? Because after all, who is Hiranyakashipu? Krishna's servant there in Vaikuntham, isn't it? It's his servant there in Vaikuntham. So that bhakti is inside in him also, but outside he is frightened. Externally he is frightened. Internally there is bhakti also for Krishna. It's already there in him, because after all he came from that job, isn't it? So that's why he says there, Nunam Vishnurayam Nihanyamamidi Brahmil Gada Bhishanam. As soon as he saw Narasimham, what did Hiranyakashipu say? This is Vishnu, he said. This is Vishnu. Saying this, he pulled out his club, took his club and wanted to fight. So immediately Narasimham caught him and says there, you will see in the sixth verse, Brahmyandam didijadhamam punarabhi prolgrihya dorbhyam javal dware dhoryuge Nipatyanakaran Vilkhaya Vaksho Bhuvim. നിർഭിന്നതി ഗർഭനിർഭരകളം രക്താമ്പുബദ്ധോത്സവം പായം പായമുദൈരയോ ബഹുജഗൽ സംഹാരി സിംഹാരവാൻ. And then Narasimham took Hiranyakashipu and put him on his lap. Why? It's his devotee, isn't it? It's his devotee. And also his gatekeeper in the Vaikuntha planet. So death for Hiranyakashipu is in the lap of Narasimham. Lap of Narasimham. And again, twilight, neither night nor day. And neither outside the house nor inside the house. It's on that part between the outside and inside. Then it's neither human form nor animal form. Then it's not created by Lord Brahma. Another one. And it is done with the nails. That means it's not with any weapon. And he took him. And it is what another one of the conditions was, it should not be killed by anyone, by any jiva. One who has got jiva, one has no jiva. Narasimham does not belong to this category. It's not jiva category, is it not? So therefore, that clause is taken care of. Took him and put him in the lap, not outside, inside, but it's on between the inside or outside, on the door step, on the door, that thing, yes. And he gave darshanam to Hiranyakashipu there and roared at that time, and then pulled his chest and also the stomach, and from there took all the intestines, everything, and put it as a garland around his neck. And still the anger hasn't gone. Why is that? These people have done to Prahlada. He couldn't tear that. So he caught hold of all the other friends, Hiranyakashipu's friends, Asuras, they were all present there. He started catching them and eating them one after the other. That's why you'll see in the 7th verse, Tektvatam hatamashuraktalahari siktonnamadvashmani പ്രത്യുൽപത്യ സമസ്ത ദൈത്യപടലിം ചാഖാദ്യമാനേ ത്വയി ബ്രാഹ്മ്യൽ ഭൂമി വികമ്പിതാംബുദികുലം വ്യാലോല ശൈലോൽക്കരം പ്രോത്സർപ്പൽഖചരം ചരാചരമഹോ ദുസ്താമവസ്ഥാം ദധൗം. ദുസ്താമവസ്ഥാം ദധൗം. Then, as soon as what Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, യഥാ യഥാ ഹി ധർമ്മസ്യ ഗ്ലാനിർഭവതി ഭാരത അഭ്യുത്ഥാനം അധർമ്മസ്യ തദാത്മാനം സൃജാമ്യഹം പരിത്രാണായ സാധൂനാം വിനാശായ ച ദുഷ്കൃതാം ധർമ്മ സംസ്ഥാപനാർത്ഥായ സംഭവാമി യുഗേ യുഗേ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി കമന്ററി ഓൺ ദാറ്റ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് ഈസ് ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് വിച്ച് വൺ തെക്വാ വാട്ട് യു സീ ഹിയർ തെക്വാദം ഹതമാശു രക്തലഹരി സിക്തോ നമദ്വർഷ്മണി. This verse is protection of the devotee. What he has said, Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? So, Prahlada has to be protected. Prahlada has to be paritranaya sadhunam. Then all these demoniac characters who are present there, they should be destroyed. Vinashayaja dushkritam. Therefore, he started killing all that asuras who are present there. And like the sea, which is with full of waves, and the sea was disturbed, the oceans were disturbed, the mother earth planet was disturbed, and all living entities, all of them experienced the presence of Narasimham there, And Narasimham himself, whole body is covered with blood, and covered with the flesh of our Hiranyakashipu. That's what it says here. Tavan mamsa vapa. Tavan mamsa vapa. Vapa means meat, the flesh. Karala vapusham. Ghorandra maladharam. Tvam madhi. Sabhamidda rosham ushidam. Durvara guruvaravam. It says here that wearing that intestines all around the neck. No one was able to go anywhere closer. That anger, Krishna's anger in Narasimham, through Narasimham. So all the demigods had come seeing this, and they are standing far away from there. And then what you find in the Bhagavatam is, one after the other, starting with Prahlada, they go up to Narasimham and pacify him by glorifications, prayers. So, then you can see who came, all came. First thing is, Prahlada pacified him, then Brahma goes, then Rudra, Shiva goes there, Indra comes, then the Rishis, then the Pitrudevadas, Pitrulokam, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Nagas, then Manu, Prajapati, Gandharva, Charana, Yakshas, Kimpurushas, Vaitaligas, Kinnaras, Vishnu's Parshadas, in this way. One after the other. And that is the prayers what you find in the Bhagavatam. You will find after the appearance so many verses. You can see. First it is that Brahma comes. Isn't it? Brahma, individually all of them glorified. Brahma, Rudra, you can see the list there in the 8th chapter, all of them. And even though they have all performed their glorifications, Narasimha could not be pacified. And that is when Prahlada comes later. So, what did Narasimha do? Narasimha took Hiranyakashipu on his lap. And Hiranyakashipu is dead now. And he sat on Hiranyakashipu's throne. Why Narasimha sat on that throne? Because it is sitting on that throne that Hiranyakashipu has conducted a lot of sinful things. And in this throne, tomorrow, Prahlada has to sit. Therefore, Narasimha purified that by sitting on that. Before Prahlada has to sit on that throne tomorrow. And Narasimha did not want Prahlada to sit on a throne where Hiranyakashipu has sat and conducted a lot of nonsense from there. Adharma. So he kept on roaring still. He was not peaceful. Everyone was frightened. And even though all these personalities like Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Rishis, they all came and glorified him, still he was not satisfied. He was not peaceful. So that's why you will find there in the ninth verse, what do you see? Bhuyopyakshadaroshadhamni bhavadi Brahma ajnaya balage prahlade padayo namatyapabhaye karunya bharakula shandastam karamasya modhni samada sotrairathol ghayada tasya kamadhiyo vidheni thavaram lokaya chanugraham. Because the anger did not subside, anger did not go away, therefore Prahlada was deputed to pacify him. Nobody else could pacify him. Even though everybody else glorified, his anger did not go. Narasimha's anger did not go. So Prahlada was asked to go there. So this incident, what happened there, in one instance, long ago, a famous Bhagavatam speaker was speaking this Narasimham Avadaram. Narasimha Avadaram in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, one person deliberated to give the life to that presentation. One person was hiding behind one of the pillars, dressed up like Narasimha, to appear when the Narasimha's appearance comes in the Bhagavatam, right? So, at the time when this appearance time came for Narasimha, and that Satyam Vidhadam Najabhatya Vashidam, that verse was spoken, Sambhe Mrgayam Nasuram Namanusham, Namurgam Namanusham. As soon as appeared, he came out from that pillar, From the pillar, he broke the pillar out and came out. It was a pillar made to give the feeling to the people who are present there. So, nobody knew about this, that it was planned like this. That day, from the pillar, somebody was going to come out like this. So, when Narasimham came out, all the people who were present there were actually shaken. Is it real Narasimham? Because if you keep on hearing Narasimham this pastime, eventually it will build up inside us. People who are sensitive to Bhagavatam. It will have its effect continuously if you are hearing Narasimham. Because Narasimha Avataram in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a very important avataram. As important as Sri Rama Avataram or Krishna Avataram. And therefore when Narasimham came out from the pillar, everyone got very frightened. Everybody got very frightened. But one child there, he knew about this. Why? Because he is his son. The worst stuff. The son was sitting there and listening to Bhagavatam with others, right? So when he came out, the son was not at all disturbed. He knew father has put this dress on before, I've seen this. And he was not at all affected by that. Everyone else was affected. Adults, grown up, everything. Who all knew about this. Who all didn't know about this. They were all affected. But this little boy who knew that it was his father who had come like this. So what did he do? As soon as Narasimham came and said, he went up to him and sat on his lap. And sat on his lap. So that was his grandson actually. He knew it is his granddad who had come out like that. So, children are like that. Just because you have dressed up something, they won't feel that fear easily like that. So, not knowing who it is, many people got a little bit fearful, but he didn't feel it. Similarly, in the same way, here, Prahlada knows who he is. Prahlada knows him, that's it, that's the reason. It's only an example to show this, that because Prahlada knows who has come, he knows Krishna. That Krishna can take this dress. So because he knows him, he was not frightened. Everybody else was frightened. Everybody else was frightened. So, and therefore, Prahlada goes up to him, offered his obeisances to him, and Karunya Bharagula. As soon as when he saw that, Narasimha picked him up and put him on the lap. Put him on the lap. So it is, Narasimha is like that because he didn't wait and he didn't take he didn't take a long time. Everything happened so fast that his mercy or karunyam towards Prahlada is like that. It didn't take a very long time. Narasimhavataram is like that. When it's spoken, it should happen inside. That experience of Narasimham. It's not a story that you hear and think about it later. When you hear Bhagavatam and when you hear Narasimhavataram, it should happen straight away within ourselves. You should feel that. Satyam vidhadum najaprathya bharshitam. And you saw that verse, what they said? Satyam vidhadum najaprathya bharshitam. Vyaptinja bhuteshu akhileshu chalpana. Adrishyadat albuda rupa mudduhan stambhe sabhayam na mrgam na manusham. Basically, this dress form he had to take for whose purpose? Prahlada's sake. To make Prahlada's words come true, to show to us how much Krishna is indebted to a devotee like Prahlada. Devotees like Prahlada, Krishna cannot ignore them. Satyam vidhadam. Whatever Prahlada says, it has to come true. That is the law. Because he is so dear to Krishna. Satyam vidhadam. Nija vrithya bhashidam. And vyaptinja bodeshu aghileshu chalpana. What he has to show to the world, that it's only me present everywhere, in everyone, everywhere. That's what it is. Vyapti. The extension of Narasimham. Vyaptinja bhudeshu akhileshu chalpmana. And adrishyadat albuda rupa mudduhan. And taken up this unusual form. Stambhe sabhayam namrgam namanusham. And he came out from that stambham, from that pillar, and knowing very well, it's neither the male form nor the female form. So that is the Narasimhavataram, and Prahlada glorified him. Shandastyam karamasya modhni. Then the you see Shandastyam, 9th verse. Shandastyam karamasya modhni samatha stotrairathol khayada tasya kamadiyo videni thavaram lokaya chanugraham. That he put both his hands on Narasimham, put the hands on Prahlada, and when he put the hands on Prahlada's head, Prahlada had an experience which he hasn't experienced before any time. That Nirvigalpa Samadhi state, and he couldn't see anything else except Brahmam, Brahmamayam, Jagat Brahmamayam. So as at the same time, Krishna is experiencing what Madhvatur mentioned in the first verse, Sandra Ananda Avabhodam. And Prahlada experienced that with the touching of the hand, and Prahlada then stood in front of him with bolted hands, with folded hands, and says to him the famous Prahlada Stuti in the Bhagavadam. Brahmadeya Suraganamana Yodha Siddha, all those verses which we have seen before. And then the Brahma, all the demigods also glorified, and he said that, how can I make you peaceful? I was born in this demoniac family. Lord Brahma and others, they have glorified you and you have not become peaceful. What chance do I have? He said. But still you have become peaceful after I have spoken to you. What is it proven? Proven that bhakti is necessary more than anything else. And with that bhakti, Krishna gets pleased. And saying this, Prahlada pleased Narasimha Murti and made him peaceful. And after that, Narasimha's anger has gone. That is why the last verse. Evam nadida raudra cheshtida vipo shrita baniya vida shutyanda sputagi da sarva mahiman atyanda shuddha akrade tata drangna ghilottaram paniraho kastum paru lenghayel prahlada priyahe marul purabade sarvamaya alpahimam. So that was the Atyanda Shuddhagrati. Atyanda Shuddhagrati means that one who is glorified in the Upanishads. One who is glorified in the Upanishad. And that avataram is this Narasimha. There is a special Upanishad about Narasimha. Narasimha Dhapani Upanishad. Right? Narasimha Dhapani Upanishad. And Acharya Swamiji has written a special commentary on this Narasimha Dhapani Upanishad. Although he took 10 major Upanishads, he also taken this Narasimha Dhapani Upanishad and wrote a special commentary on that. Why? Because this avataram, Atyanta Shuddhakrati, Shuddha means, the reason for that is, this Narasimha avataram, particularly, Narasimha is worshipped by the Brahmacharis. Brahmacharis worship Narasimha. And so, with the desire for self-realization or knowledge of the self, or those who are completely focused on that, with that intention, one who remain as a brahmachari throughout life and remain in that way, for this Narasimham Upadesham is given for the brahmacharis. It's given like that because this is one Upadesham, Narasimha Upadesham, that protect the jiva and purifies the jiva, as well as it protects him in his journey. In which way protection? Protection means that protection is like this: brahmachari, don't fall down into any allurements in this world. Attraction for anger, lust, greed, all kinds of things. So that fall down should not happen, and that protection offered by Narasimha. And that mantra, Narasimha mantra, is capable of offering the, capable of giving Brahma Vidya to a student, to a brahmachari. And that Narasimhamurti took Prahlada and put him on his lap, and he wanted to put Prahlada on the throne, and for that sake he requires the throne, isn't it? And the throne was the lap of Narasimha. That's what it is. And he is the king of the empire of devotion. And accordingly he requires a crown, because he is the king in the empire of devotion. So what was the crown? The two hands of Narasimha. He put that on top of Prahlada as a crown on him. And when a king like that is, what do they call, the coronation happens at that time, he has to be offered the water from the all the holiest of rivers. And what was the water that was used for the Abhishekam of Prahlada? The tears that has come from Narasimha's eyes. Narasimha's eyes, tears started coming, that my devotee, what all Prahlada had to go through before this. And that Ashrubindu, that happiness that Prahlada has been taken care of, and feeling that attachment to Prahlada, putting him on his lap, the tears that came from the eyes of Narasimha has become the water for the purification of Prahlada. He was kept there, and then Abhishekam happened. So Nilpathur said here, Prahlada Prehe Maril Purapade Sarvamayal Pahimam. This Narasimha, who is very close to Prahlada, who is very dear to Prahlada, he asked Prahlada, what is the benediction do you want? Prahlada says, what benediction? He said that if you insist that I should have a benediction, give me that benediction, that I will not ask for any benediction. That's the benediction I wanted. Kamanam hridya samroham. In the Bhagavatam you will see. And such a desire should never come up in my heart to ask for anything. Prahlada hates those. Hates means he has no value for those who does business with Krishna. So Narasimha blessed Prahlada and told him, 21 generations before and after will be purified by your presence in this family of Prahlada. And saying this, disappeared. Narasimha Murthy disappeared. And then there is in that seventh canto, there is Tripura Dahanam, which we spoke before. Tripura Dahanam. That pastime Melpathur left out. Didn't say, mention in the Narayaniyam. So with that, and then the five chapters referring to Sadhajara Varnana, that means the part relating to instructions to Yudhishthira from Narada Maharshi, that part also is left out. Straight away he goes to the eighth canto. We'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni narvabanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadho jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatna subanam param vijayde shri krishna sangirtanam nanamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti Mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadad bhakti rahai dugitvai. Ainanda tanuja kingaram padidamam shamei bhavambudo. Krubaya davabhada pangajastida duli sadrasham vichindaya. Nayanam galada shrudharaya vadanam gadgadarubdhaya giram. Pulagair nijidam kadavabu tavannam grahane bhavishyati. Hidaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ashlishya vapadaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva yadhatadava vidadhatulam malprananadhasuna evanapara sarvatra govinda nama sangirtanam govinda govinda.
So, after Narasimhavadara Katha in the Marayaniyam, Melpathur, the next thing what he spoke to Krishna was Gajendra Moksha. 26th chapter. Indradyumna Pandyagandhadiraja Tval Bhaktalma Chandana Draukada Chil Tval Sevayam Madnadhira Luloke Naivagastyam Praptamaditya Kamam Kumbhol Bodhi Sampradakrodhabhara Stadhalmatum Hastibuyam Bhajeti Shaptuadhenam Pratyagal Sobilebhi Hasti Indratum Tulsmradi Vyakti Dhanyam Dugdhambodher Madhyabhaji Trigude Kridan Shaile Yudhaboyam Vashabhi Sarvan Jandu Natyavartishta Shaktya Tulbhaktanam Kutranol Karshalabha Senasemna Divyade Shakta Shaktya Soyam Kedana Prajanan Kadachil Shaila Prande Garmadandra Sarasyam Yudhai Sabdham Tulpranam Nobhireme Hoho Saval Devalasya Bishabal Grahi Buddhasta Jale Vartamana Jagahenam Hastinam Pada Deshe Shandyartam Hi Shrandidosi Suganam Tulsevaya Vaibhaval Durnirodham Yudhyandam Damval Saranam Sahasram Prapte Kale Tulpadega Grasidhye Nakra Krandam Hasti Varyam Vrutha Vyathastram Arti Vyakta Pratana Jnana Bhakti Shundol Shipte Pundari Gay Samarchan Purva Vyastam Nurvishesh Alpanishtam Sotra Shreshtam Sonyagadil Paramal Parat Paramalman Shrutva Sotram Nurgunastam Samastam Brahmesha Dernahamitya Prayate Sarvalpatum Buri Karunyavegal Tarsya Ruda Prakshidobo Purastal Hastindrandam Hastavalpena Drutva Chakrenatvam Nakravaryam Vyadari Gandharvosmin Mukta Shabe Sahasti Tulswarupyam Prapya Vedipya Desma Edad Brutvo Tvamcha Mamcha Prageyo Gayel Soyam Bhuyase Shreyase Syal Ittutvainam Denasardham Gadastvam Dishnyam Vishno Pahi Vatalayesham Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam
Govinda Govinda
Melpatur, while composing Narayaniyam, Krishna is sitting in right in front of him and seeing and listening to what Melpatur had to say. So, when in the seventh canto, when Prahlad Maharaj's story was spoken, Krishna is sitting there as a little child, 2-3 years old. Melpatur thought there is no necessity to tell him about those five chapters, which is referring to the Sadachara Varnana, which is in the Bhagavadam. When Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question to Narada Maharshi, how should bhakti should be developed? In answer to that, Varnashama Dharmam was spoken in five chapters. What's the point in talking to Krishna about Varnashama Dharmam? So Melpatur left that. He felt there was no necessity to speak to Krishna about Varnashama Dharmam. So he left it. Tripura Dahanam is not a story which Melpatur wanted to say to Krishna. Reason being, Krishna was not able to interested in listening to all those things, Tripura Dahanam and all. Mainly because you have to remember Krishna is a little boy now. Who is listening to this? He wants to hear the story from Melpatur, what Melpatur had to say. So when that day when he came back, Krishna says to Melpatur, yesterday you told me about the story of the lion, Narasimha's story. Which story are you going to tell me today? He said, I'm going to tell you the story of the elephant, he said. Children have a way of asking for things like that. So that is how, straight away from the Narasimha's story, Melpatur went to Gajendra Moksha. Sorry. The story of the lion, now the story of the elephant. But this eighth canto is generally called as Upanishad. It's Upanishad it is. Throughout whole, if you look at the glorifications in the Bhagavadam, in eighth canto, there's loads of glorifications there. Brahma coming few times and glorifying Krishna at different times. There is glorification of Mahabali. There is glorification of Gajendra. So many glorifications in the eighth canto. Studi. Gajendra Studi is there. Mahabali Studi is there. So many Studi. All of them is a direct replica of the Upanishads. Upanishads way. So that is why it is also called Upanishad Skandam. The eighth canto is called Upanishad Skandam. It is called like that. And the first chapter itself is the talking about it. So Swayambhu Manu, it is all these pastimes are happening in Swayambhu Manu's time. So Swayambhu Manu is performing penances and austerities, and in his heart Brahmavidya has manifested, Brahmavidya, knowledge of the self. And Krishna, who is in charge, who is the embodiment of knowledge, he manifested in Swayambhu Manu's heart in the form of Upanishads. So Upanishad Swarupam we call that. Krishna's Upanishad Swarupam. Or pure knowledge Swarupam. Chetana Swarupam. In the various words like that. So Swayambhu Manu, after many years of penances and austerities, he realized Krishna in the form of knowledge within his own heart. Chetana Swarupam. Or Upanishad Swarupam. And that is how, if you look into the 8th canto, it begins like that. The first verse in the 8th canto. If you look, you will see straight away it's talking about that. Manu's realization, which is the 9th verse in the first chapter. The first 1, 2, 3 is the Parikshit Maharaj saying, asking questions. Then 4 to 8 is Sri Shuka Brahmashi talking about introduction and all that. But Swayambhu Manu started penances and the manifestation. How Swayambhu Manu realized Krishna? In the form of Upanishads. That's the 9th verse. Look at it, it is exactly the Upanishad verse. Manu Ruvacham. Yena chetayate vishwam, vishwam chetayate nayam, yo jagarti shayanasmin nayam tam veda vedasa. This is that verse. Yena chetayate vishwam, vishwam chetayate nayam, yo jagarti shayanasmin nayam tam veda vedasa. What does that mean? It means that one, what is that vastu who gives life to this whole creation? Life to this whole creation. And even though he is not in that, but because of his presence, the whole thing exists. We feel like that. The world's existence, we are experiencing. Why? Because behind that there is Krishna. Krishna is present there. Then, that vastu who is behind this and giving us the experience of its existence, right? This vastu cannot give us any knowledge about that one which is giving its reality. That means Atma is behind everything. Because of Atma's existence only, we are experiencing that this world existing. People are existing. Different living entities, all these varieties of existence, we experience that because of presence of Atma. But none of these vastu, or all these manifested creation, is able to give us any idea or knowledge of that one which is behind this Atma. Do you understand that? Atma, because of presence, that is what that means. Yena chetayate vishwam. By whose presence we are experiencing this creation. Vishwam chedayade nayam. But Vishwam, this Vishwam means this manifested world, this cannot give you any knowledge about, you will never be able to realize the Atma through the world, outside world. But outside world, you are able to experience now only because of his presence behind it. So that's that first line. Yena chetayate vishwam, vishwam chetayate nayam. Manu's realization is saying this. Manu, after performing many, Swayambhu Manu was very famous, wasn't he? His daughter, Devahuti Devi, got married to Kardama Prajapati. And highly respected, rishis go to Manu for knowledge. The rishis go to Manu for knowledge. So you can imagine Manu's status. So it is his realization he's saying. Then, what else he is saying there? He's saying that this whole creation, what is existing, he says, Yo jagarti shayan esmin nayam tam veda vedasa. That because of whose presence this world feel world is experienced by us, right? So the world is existing in his presence. In his presence, world is existing. But world cannot give us any idea, or world is not able to give us any knowledge about the vastu behind it. And also, it is because of his presence that yo jagarti shayan esmin. It is because of his presence only we are experiencing all these things. You see? If Atma is not there, because Atma is present inside us, Satta, Chitta, Anandam is in it, that Chit Shakti is giving us the experience of the world. Vastu is the same. Vastu, who is presenting this creation in front of us, is the same Vastu through us, making us to experience this. That is what Yo Jagarti Shayan Esmin, he says here. That means, every day we experience this world, that this all these things are existing. That awareness, how does that happen? Not through our senses. Senses are not doing that. Mind is not doing that. Only because of the presence of the soul inside, we feel the world is existing. Otherwise you won't know it, would it? So, and when we are all sleeping, when we go to sleep, he is awake. Oh, Atma. Atma is awake, isn't it? And he is the one who is closest to all. Closest to all. Yo jagat shayan esmin nayam tam veda vedasa. When we go to sleep, deep sleep, we have no knowledge of the existence of the world. At that time, we lose that awareness of the existence of this world. Goes away from us. Isn't it? So this is how real the world is. Because Krishna is behind that, Atma is behind that, therefore we feel the presence of the world. But the world on its own cannot give us Krishna. He cannot give the existence of Krishna to us, awareness of Krishna to us. World cannot do that. Only thing is, Krishna is illuminating the world in such a way we feel its existence. And it requires Krishna's presence in the world to confirm its existence, and in order that to register in us, to get it registered in us, Krishna's presence is required in us as well, in the form of Antaryami. So that Chit Shakti inside is registering the existence of all these things, what is present. But when we go into deep sleep state, even though Krishna is inside us, Antaryami, Krishna is inside us, Antaryami, still we are completely, our connection is broken with the world outside. Our connection is broken, is it not? So, and at that time, he is present closest to us. And as he said before, it is in that deep sleep state that his presence is felt more than any other state. Why? Because in the deep sleep state, the you on your own is not existing. Ahangaram has gone, isn't it? Ahangaram has gone. He has dissolved somewhere, disappeared. What you are experiencing there, it's him. Only thing is, there is a coverage of the tamogunam inside. And therefore, you are not directly seeing him or experiencing him, but the experience is there of his presence. Why? When you wake up in the morning, you feel that happiness. Where is that coming from? From him. It's come from Krishna. So, Upanishads are talking about this in various ways, trying to make us, bring us to that point, that what actually exists is only Krishna, not what you see with your eyes, not what you think about yourself. All this is a part of Maya. What I see is this body, mind, intelligence, false ego, senses, these are all part of the Maya, isn't it? Prakriti. Similarly, what is manifested is all part of Prakriti. Upanishad is saying, this is not real, this is not real, only you have a glimpse of his experience in the deep sleep. That's what it is. So, that's why he's saying, Yena chetayate vishwam, vishwam chetayate nayam, yo jagatte shayanesmin, nayam tham veda vedasa. Nayam tham veda vedasa. And then, next verse, alpa vasamidam vishwam, yal kinja jagatyam jagal, tena taktvena bunjida, magrida akasya sildhanam. Upanishad verse, Isha Upanishad first verse. Right? So, there in the Ishopanishad it is said, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. What does here? Alma Vasyam Idam Vishwam. Practically there is no difference. In the Upanishad it is, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. Here, Swami Bhavan is saying, Alma Vasyam Idam Vishwam. Rest of it is same. The same verse from Ishopanishad. Right. So, what is important here is that why did he say Alpa Vasamidam Sarvam? Important thing is, they are driving this point across to us again and again, that he is not somewhere else. He is here right now within you as your very soul, as the soul. Alpa Vasamidam Sarvam. He is the one who is actually here in everyone, every living being, inside as the very Atma. He is present inside. Atma vasyam idam sarvam, he says here. Because only if it is shown like that, it is of some use to us, benefit to us. Because otherwise, if he tells you, God is somewhere else, in some place far away from here, we will not go there and find him, would he? Because he's too far. To go and find him somewhere else, so far away, will not happen. So, it's also to tell us, right now, here, if you realize the self, you will benefit it. You will feel the benefit. Instead, if you say, tomorrow I will start my spiritual life, or 20 years from now I'll start my spiritual life, and if it is, will say, leave it to the old age, when I have finished all my work here, then I'll start my spiritual life. If you say like that, you won't take it very seriously. You won't be able to take it very seriously. That is why it will be difficult to believe it also at that time. It has to be something. It has to be something what you have got now. Promising that something will happen after death, somewhere, at some time, later. People who take that attitude in spiritual life, it will not go very far, because the faith will always be wavering in life. It has to be something while living today in this world right now. That is why Upanishad stress on this one point, that Antaryami has to be taken more seriously than anything else. Ishavasyam Almaivam Altmaivam tadidam altmavasyam idam vishwam yat kinja jagatyam jagat tena taktvena bunchida magrida kasya sildhanam. Then, what he's saying here, whatever that is in this world existing, all of that is permeated by Krishna. Krishna is present in all of that. Therefore, whatever Krishna has given us, live with that. Be satisfied with that. Don't increase the needs. Be peaceful with what you have got and be satisfied with what you have got. Tena tyaktvena vanchita magrida kasya sildhanam. So, and it is easier to understand Krishna in this way. Which way? through the Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, then understanding about Krishna living in another planet far away from here. Because when lot of questions come, lot of questions, when you present Krishna as someone lives in Vaikuntham, Kailasam, Golokam or anywhere else, the difficulty is this, that you would like to know about these places, right? Once you have gone, you don't come back from there. So there's nobody who has gone and come back and told you what it's there. We have a lot of questions, right? People are always asking questions. The other day I was listening, one class was saying that Krishna's childhood pastimes has happened in Vrindavan. Okay. So, in Golokam, Vrindavanam, there is only Krishna and the gopis there. So, we say that all the pastimes are happening. This is all is a reflection of the what's happening in the Golokam, all the pastimes in Vrindavanam. If it is like that, Krishna has to be a little boy there in Golokam. But Krishna is not a little boy there, he is Kishore Bhav. That means he is having the conjugal relationship with gopis. That's why Golokam is considered to be the that place where these relationships are nurtured. So does that mean that these pastimes do not happen in the spiritual world, only happened in Vrindavanam, not in the spiritual world? But we also say, Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's parents, they are having a relationship with Krishna eternally in the Valsalya Bhav. So where is that happening? So they are saying that it is not in Goloka Vrindavan, it is in another Vrindavan called Gokulam, a separate Vrindavan where it's happening. Like this, there is always difficulty sometimes to completely take it on board, because its doubts comes in the mind. Various questions will come. Therefore, rishis have insisted. I'm talking about the way the rishis have presented is that right here, why worry about Golokam? If you go there, it's good. There's nothing spoken against that. But easier way of self-realization and realizing the truth is recognizing that Krishna is present here now in all of us as Antaryami here. Why don't you accept that reality? Because as Antaryami is closer than anybody else in this world. So that is why, and in Sushupti, deep sleep state, you are actually experiencing him as well. That is why in Jnanamargam, they stress on these three states of existence, and the analysis of Jnanamargam, it is like this, that those who are little bit more inquisitive or curious to know these things, the realization like that. So, you got it now, here. And even while we are sleeping, he is awake within all of us. And when the vacant state, from the vacant state, when we go into the dream state, Upanishad says, Yes, Sopneshu Jagarti, Kamam Kamam, Purusho Vinirmidaha, Tadeva Shukram Tad Brahmam, Edadvai Tatha. Kadomanishad, you will see that. A mantra like this, or not the Kadomanishad's mantra. That says, Yasotneshu Jagarti Kamam Kamam Purusho Nirmimana Tadeva Shukram Tal Brahmam Edadvaitatha. Nachiketas, this little boy, went to Yamadharma Raja and asked him, what does Alma means? What does the soul means? Yamadharma Raja showed him step by step, took him there. And the first step is what Dhrumaharaja spoken. What was that? Dhrumaharaja said this, that one who is sitting inside all of us, who got inside all of us, and who is seeing everything through the eyes, who is hearing everything through the ears, and through all the five different senses, like eyes, ears, nose, touch, taste and all through the senses, the first verse in the Drosri, Yo Andha Pravishya, Mama Vaja Mimam Prasuptam Sanjeevayati. So, and who is present inside as pure consciousness, and who is actually experience all these things Prananamo Bhagavate Purushayatubhyam. I offer my obeisances to him. Dhruva said this, is it not? So, this has shown to us in the vacant state how Atma is present in this world. That's what it is showing to us. In the vacant state, how Atma is present in this world. In the same way, the second step, this is the first step. How you realize Krishna in the vacant state? Because through the senses, who is enjoying everything? It is his presence inside. Vacant state. So, the second state is, the Upanishad says like this, that what Dhruva Maharaj said is the same thing in the Upanishads also. One who is present inside as Antaryami, and through the eyes, ears, nose, skin, and taste, through all these different senses, giving them an opportunity to function, and that vastu inside, that vastu, when he is present inside, I'm saying, I heard, I saw, I tasted, I smelled, I touched. Why am I able to say that? Because he is inside. Is it not? So, so then the question we are asking, who is this me? Who is saying this? Who, in his presence, I am saying this. If he is not there, I won't be able to say any of these things. Is it not? I have tasted. I keep saying, it's my hangaram, but hangaram is saying, I have tasted, I smell, I enjoyed this, I enjoyed. So many things I am saying. I did this, I did that. So, in the vacant state, the inquiry is based on this hangaram. Who is asking this? Who is saying this? Isn't it? Who is saying all these things? Yamadharma Raja is saying to Nachiketas. Nachiketas went and asked this question to him. What is Atma? So how did Yamadharma Raja reply that? In different states, how you can know him. How you experience him. That's how he taught Nachiketas this science. So, the second step, Yamadharma Raja told him, when you sleep at night, you are lying there without knowing anything, but still, who is sitting inside you and creating that dream there? Kamam kamam purusho nirmimanaha. What is that? What is this kamam kamam purusho nirmimanaha? Yamadharma Raja is saying there that one who is creating all kinds of dreams inside at night and bring them up in front of you. These dreams are nothing but the desires and experiences before. Lot of your desires get fulfilled in the dream, isn't it? Suppose you wanted a big, many, many dreams, what you have built up during the day, they will get fulfilled in the dream. So, Upanishad is saying, while sleeping at night, you are lying there, the body is lying there, but someone who is doing this, kamam kramam purusho nirmimanaha, who is creating all these desires and bring them up in the dream and show it to you, even while your body is lying there as a dead object. And one who is brings them up inside at the dream state and who is seeing them in the dream, he is Atma. In three states, Yamadharma Raja answered this. Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. That in the dream state, in the vacant state, the best thing is to look at this way. Who is present inside and whose presence you are able to experience this world through the senses. Without him, you can't experience the world. So that is the proof of his existence in the vacant state. In the dream state, when you are lying down, who brings up all these different visions in the dream, what you are seeing, all your desires and fulfilling the desires, everything, but the body is lying there. Who is doing that? Atma. Who is doing that? Atma. Tadeva shukram tad brahmam, he said. So, find out, he said. Yamadharma Raja, this is how he told Nachiketas, find out who that is. he said. That means, at that time, completely separated from the body, even while the body is in a jadam state, lying there, and even while the body is lying there, who is bringing up all these different visions in the dream state and experience that? Find out who that is, he said. And that is what exactly Manu is also saying here. You see there? Yo jagarti shayanesmin nayamtam veda vedasa. That's what that is. Yo jagarti shayane asmin nayamtam veda vedasa. And how can we know him? Nobody can know him, because it is he who knows everyone. Nobody can know him because it's he who knows everything. Who knows everything? Because his existence itself is awareness. That when he is there, it is his awareness that what we are experiencing. It is he who is experiencing in the dream state. As he is experiencing in the dream state. Without him, we have no experience of anything. Vacant dream or deep sleep. It is he behind standing there and giving us this opportunity to experience, whether in the vacant state or in the dream state or in the deep sleep. It's he is the one who is behind it. So that is why he is mentioned as awareness, knowledge, awareness. Only in him all these things can be experienced. Whether it is right or wrong, good or bad, knowledge or ignorance, all of them to experience, you need him. Even sometimes we say, this is right knowledge, or this is wrong thing. This is right thing, this is wrong thing. This is good, this is bad. Or this is, we say, this is... whichever way we call, it's all different information what we get, isn't it? But in order that all this knowledge to work, he is needed. He is required. If Krishna is not present in us, then there is no good or bad for us. No right or wrong. So all thing, whether it is knowledge or ignorance, is also dependent on him. And therefore, he is the real knowledge. This knowledge, right or wrong, what we are making up here, is based on our mind. Accepting this something, rejecting something, it's all the mental thing it is. In him, there is no right or wrong. The very awareness itself of this exists, this doesn't exist, this is good, this is bad, it's all experienced in him because of his presence. So, that is why he is addressed as, in the dream state, as Nyapti. Remember that word, Nyapti? This word you will see in the Nyapti Matram. Who said? Muchukunda. Muchukunda Stuti, you see this word, Nyapti. So this is why this word is coming from, Nyapti. In the dream state, purely as knowledge is present. Knowledge is present. Find out. Yamadharmaraja told Nachiketas. Find out, he said. First he said, vacant state, he has explained. Now he has explained the dream state. Then the third one, in the deep sleep. How you find out? That when there is no experience at all, you are not seeing anything, no senses are working, mind is not working, and you have no experience of anything at that time, and you are in such a deep sleep. When you come up, you say, I had such a good sleep, isn't it? And what happened at that time? You are not seeing anything, you are not knowing anything, you are not touching anything, you are not tasting anything. And that means no senses are operating at that stage. And mind is not operating because none of the thoughts are there. Mind is not operating. So senses are not working, mind is dissolved. Then intelligence is also not there in the deep sleep state. Intelligence is also not there. And the body is lying there like a dead matter. Body is lying there. Intelligence is not working, mind is not working, senses are not working. And even though all these things have happened, you are saying, I had a good sleep. I slept very well. I say when I wake up, isn't it? And I felt some tremendous energy after that good deep sleep. I feel good because I feel refreshed everything. Everything refreshed in me. I feel that I can stand another day or deal with another day. You get that in the morning when you wake up, isn't it? So where did that happiness or strength come from? It came from Him, Swarupam. It came from Him. It didn't come by doing anything. You didn't take a tonic, or you didn't go to the gym, or you didn't run a marathon, or anything like that. Without doing anything, you slept and you got a strength back. You got your strength back. So that didn't come from by doing anything. Instead, by not doing anything, it has come from. Is it not? And not by eating anything, you got it. And only thing is, that happiness or experience inside, it came out. It is already there. And this, and what is He? Who is that? Yamadharma Raja told Nachiketas, find out who that is. So in the waking state, one way of inquiry. In the dream state, another way. In the deep sleep, in a different way. Three different ways inquiry. That is what He is talking about here. Manu is saying, Swami Manu is saying, Yena chedayade vishwam, vishwam chedayade nayam, yo jagarti shayanesmin nayam tam veda vedasa. Alpavasamidam jishwam, yalkinja jagatyam jagal, tenetatvene bunjida, magrida kasya sildhanam. Yamna pashyadi pashyandam, chachuryasya narishyadi, tam bhuta nilayam devam, suvarnam upadavatha. Nayasyadyando madhyamja, soparyona andaram behi, vishyasya muniyadyasmal, vishyamja tadradam mahal. When you read those verses, you will feel as though you are reading an Upanishad. Because all the verses are like that. Because Upanishad verses, when you read, it won't make any sense to us, wouldn't it? So it is like that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, 14th chapter, where you are reading that, and more you read, you get more confused. What's this all about, isn't it? You know, some of the verses in the, they're talking about, that says, that there is a tree standing there, upside down. Yeah, 15th chapter, yeah. He starts thinking, where is this tree? So, it is like that. This Upanishad is all like, this all last six chapters in the Bhagavad Gita is very much Upanishads. So that's why the same thing you will feel here also in the Bhagavad. Whenever Upanishad, that's why most of the people don't want to read the last six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. They will try to stick to the middle six, because there it's all very personal. That you feel you're okay with that. All Krishna is saying there, surrender unto me. And everything is okay after that. So here you will see in this 13th chapter that it says, Bahirandascha bhutanam acharam charamevacha sukshmatvatad avijnayam durastham chantikechatat. That's enough to confuse people once they read that verse. It says there that He is the closest to you and He is the far away from you. This is, how can that be? People will ask. He is the closest to you and He is the most distant from you. The Supreme Truth exists outside and inside. He is there. And moving and the non-moving. Because He is subtle, He is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although He is far, far away, He is also near to all. That is enough, isn't it? We have been told that He is very far away. In Goloka Vrindavan, He is so far. But then He is saying that He is also near to all. So when He is so near to you, should He not think about Him who is closer to you than thinking about somebody who is very far away? Then the next verse, Avibhaktanja Bhudeshu, Vibhaktam Ivajasthidam, Bhuda Bhardhraja Tejnyayam, Grasishnu Prabhavishnu Cha. He says, appears to be divided among all beings, but He is not divided. He is one. Appears divided, but He is not divided, He is one. Again confusion. How is that be? Because earlier in the Bhagavad Gita we were told that although He maintains every living entity, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all. Then, if you read that, he said, Jnanam yayam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya vishtidam. He is the object of knowledge, he is the goal of knowledge, and he is knowledge. All these verses, to if you don't accept Upanishads and study Upanishads properly, it will not be understood properly. Too simple as that. If you haven't studied the Upanishads, background is required to understand these chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. Because it's simply Upanishads knowledge. And Upanishads have a way of saying things. And that we have to know. Once you get used to that, then you will find these verses will make sense. These verses will make sense. Like he said here, he is knowledge, he is the object of knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge, and he is situated in everyone's heart. So it is like that. So many other verses, all six chapters, we can't go through this. But more or less, it's the same way the remaining six chapters are spoken, right? So, the fourth one. Now, Yama Dharmaraja told Nachiketas to inquire in the three states. Which one? Vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep. How to conduct the inquiry? He said that, isn't it? Now he's saying, first you find out who is present in this vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep. And who is exactly the same in all the three states. Find out who that is. First of all, do that, he said. Then analyze the three states very well. For example, in the vacant state, the body is there, the mind is there, the intelligence is there, I am there. All, everything existing, isn't it? But I realize that when I go into the dream state, body is gone. Mind is there, intelligence is there, I am there, still. Similarly, when I leave the dream state and go into deep sleep, body is not there, the mind is not there, intelligence is not there, but I am there, I am still there. So, when everything gone away, I am still there. This is called in the Bhagavatam, remember in the beginning itself they said, Anyayam Vedregabhyam Yatsyal Sarvatra Sarvada. This is Anyayam Vedregam. That means, in the vacant state itself, I am there. And in all the three states, vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep, I am the witness of everything. I am present in the form of knowledge. I am called Nyapti, or pure consciousness, or awareness, or the living force. And if I experience him properly, who that is, and then I have understood the truth. I have not understood him so far. Because all the time otherwise, in the vacant dream and deep sleep states, vacant state ahankaram is working, dream state also ahankaram is present. But only when I go into the deep sleep state, ahankaram goes away, but at the same time I don't have a direct experience of him still, direct experience. So, in the all the three states, when I wake up to his identity, that Atma, as Atma's identity, he is the only one who does not come and go. Like if you take for vacant state, body has come, isn't it? But when you go into dream state, body is gone. When we say it is gone, it does not mean the way we say, that physically it's not gone. What I'm saying is, the influence of the body in me has gone. Similarly, when you go into the dream state, the only thing present in me is the dream and mind. Mind is present. That is why I'm able to generate all the different forms and experiences, right? And when I go into the deep sleep state, body has gone, mind also has gone, because they have no influence on me at that time. So, but this awareness in me, who is always reminding me of the vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep, he doesn't go. Because who is registering all these things? Atma, soul, is it not? So he remains without coming, going. Everybody else comes and goes. Body comes and goes. Mind comes and goes. Intelligence comes and goes. Atma doesn't come and go. That's the first important thing. So everything else comes and goes. For example, you can see the things what you see in the vacant state, they don't exist in the dream state. And what you see in the dream state, they don't exist in the vacant state. And what you don't have in the vacant state and the dream state, and that experience you get in the deep sleep state. And whatever you have experienced in the vacant state and the dream state doesn't come and interfere in your happiness in the deep sleep state. So all these things are coming and going. The world, the body, the mind, the intelligence, everything is coming and going, isn't it? What is there in the... So you can see what you are experiencing in the deep sleep state is not in the vacant state or in the dream state. Why I am saying all these things is, these few verses, what Manu has spoken in this first chapter, they are so important. Why? Because if you study these verses well, these 5-6 verses, it's the same thing again spoken later by Gajendra and Mahabali and Vamanamurthi, Aditi Devi. All of them are saying the same thing in a different way. That's why it's called Upanishad Skandam. All the study in this 8th canto is nothing but Upanishad's knowledge. So Upanishad's knowledge is repeated again. So that is why all these things are coming and going. So Sushupti experience is not there in the vacant state or the dream state. But for all the three states, the awareness, bodham, that who is experiencing that? It is experienced by the Atma. Experienced by Atma. So therefore, that is why he is called the Nyapti. Nyapti means one who is experiencing awareness. Awareness. That is called Nyapti. Nyapti Atma. So Manu is saying here, inquire about him and find out, he said. So wherever, this is the interesting bit, wherever Upanishad is saying Atma, 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 Bhagavadam will say Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Bhagavan. That's all. Vastu is the same. But in the Upanishads, wherever it says Atma, 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 in Bhagavadam it will say Bhagavan, Bhagavan, Bhagavan. If you connect it like that, you won't have any problem. That is why when Bhagavadam began, at that time itself it said three names for the same thing. What are they? Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Vastu is the same. He said, Vadandida Tattvavidam, Tattvam Jnanam Advayam, Brahmedi Paramatmedi, Bhagavan Idi Shabdyade. Same Vastu, you are calling them by three names. Calling that Vastu by three names. Devotees are calling this as Bhagavan. Yogis are calling him as Paramatma. Upanishads, Rishis, who have seen the truth, they call him as Brahma. All three of them are the same. Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, they are all same. Bhagavadam generally will say Bhagavan. Upanishad, only in one place it is called Ishvara, like Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. In one place, it has used like that. Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam, Yatkinja Jagatyam Jagat, the first verse in the Ishvara. That verse, Bhagavadam took that verse from Ishvara, because Ishvara was written way before Bhagavadam. So he took that verse from Ishvara and said, Atma Vasyam Idam Vishwam. Ishvara Idam Sarvam became Atma Vasyam Idam Vishwam. So Ishvara Idam Sarvam, that mantram from Ishvara, Srimad Bhagavadam took that mantram and said that fill the whole creation with Atma. In the Ishvara says Ishvara Idam Sarvam. In Srimad Bhagavatam it says Atma Vasyam Idam Vishwam. to again confirm the same thing. Vastu is the same thing. But in Upanishad it has spoken in one place, Ishavasya Midam Sarvam, that except Ishvara there is nothing else here. Ishavasya Midam Vishwam. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Upanishad. Ishavanishad. Ishavasya Midam Sarvam. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, Atma Vasya Midam Vishwam. Isn't it? Atma Vasya Midam Vishwam. Vishwam is nothing but Atma. Where is the change, difference? There is no difference except the change of words. That's all. So that means everything what you see here, see it as Atma, Atma Swarupam. And there is nothing existing outside Atma. Atma, if you see anything separately from Atma, that is all what you see within Atma in the form of Namarupam, name and form. Name and form is what you are seeing. You are not seeing Atma. You are only seeing the name and form. Because you are seeing, if you are seeing something which is separated from Atma in this creation, what it is only a Namarupam. That is how Upanishad will say. Namarupam. It's a name, it's a form. It has got a form, it has got a name. Nothing more than that. But actually, that, and that has come up from Atma. Namarupam, why it is called Namarupam is, Namarupam under any circumstances has no existence of its own. Namarupam cannot exist on its own. Why? Because its adhishtanam is Atma. Adhishtanam means the base. Base is Atma. Without Atma, Namarupam has no existence. That is why it's said like that. It's no existence. Therefore, none of the Namarupam is real. Is real. Only real thing is Atma. Then the whole creation manifested for world is nothing but Atma. Yeah, that's why it says, Yal kinjam jagatyam jagat. Isn't it? Here, now again, jagat means what? That's an important question. Isn't it? Jagat is not all these stones and bricks and metals and the trees and this. No. Jagat in spiritual terminology is ragam dvesham. What is the effect of this in us? Ragadvesham, isn't it? Something we like, something we don't like. There is no other effect of this on us. We are talking from the spiritual point of view. On a bodily level, you are accepting so many things here. That's a different story altogether. From a spiritual point of view, the world has only one impact in me. That is ragam dvesham. So that is what it is called, jagat. Jagat's definition is ragadvesham. How much attachment and aversion it creates in me. In normal state, there is shanti inside. My shanti is disturbed by ragadvesham. Ragadvesham disturbs shanti. So anything if I see here separately from the truth, and if I start seeing them as Atma, it will not create any more ragadvesham in me. That is, ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma vashyet vithayatma prasadam abhigacchadi Bhagavad Gita. It is coming from this. This is the underlying principle. Once you start seeing everything as atma, you will get free from ragadvesham. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma vashyet vithayatma prasadam abhigacchadi. You will come to that stage. So, I think we should stop today. We will continue Narayaniyam for 4 days in, if everything goes okay, if you have the problems, for the Easter. And then we'll, after that we'll do it in the summer. So Anil will talk to the people and then confirm the dates and put it on the website soon. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.